You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning, everyone. I trust you all slept well. Shall we go to work, sir?
Sure thing. Let's get with it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney, I'm not.
What the f***?
I told them all the little gangsters, who you think helped mold them all. Now you want to run around and talk about guns like I ain't got none. What you think I sold them all?
Now, myself, growing up a Southern California boy, I never had the chops to surf. I'm kind of unathletic. I am a sponger, so don't hate me.
When you look at that, do you feel embarrassed? Do you feel shame? Do you feel humble? Do you feel... Tell me what you feel.
And now...
Fire the air mug. For crap's sake, fire him now.
Our feature presentation.
That's how she feels, and she's not afraid to say it. Morning, everybody. Right. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32. It is Monday, the 1st of April.
I think I learned, if I remember it correctly, last night was my first Game of Thrones, and I think the term that I learned was applies to Beer Mug, and that is he is an agent of darkness. I think that's what Mug says. He's an agent of darkness.
He's not Asian. I don't understand.
So, party people, how was everybody's weekend?
It was great.
Great.
Big Easter get-together. Lots of food.
Better than Kevin Ware.
Ooh.
Oh, that's the Louisville player, right?
Yep.
Wow.
I just know my weekend was better than his.
No kidding.
Now, I was going to talk about that.
Go ahead.
He, for those who don't know, it's one of those things that very rarely does something like this happen. But it's one of those things that if you saw it, either while you were watching the game yesterday, and we're talking about one of the elite games yesterday between Duke and Louisville, a player broke his leg, had a compound fracture where the bone came out of the skin, okay? And they didn't have a close-up of it on the TV, mercifully, but what you saw with his leg bending in that direction and hitting the ground at a right angle from how it was supposed to be is the type of thing that gives you nightmares for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You don't forget about seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, many of us saw when Joe Theismann broke his leg on Monday Night Football, you know, many years ago. That haunts me. There was a bone coming out of a leg in the movie The Deer Hunter that I literally had nightmares about for years and still flashes across my brain from time to time. You just don't forget stuff like that.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. I didn't see it because when I was playing basketball, I came down on a guy's foot and broke my ankle. Mm-hmm. And the pain was so bad, and I felt like I had to throw up immediately and all this trouble. And now I'm just scarred for life. Like, if I were to watch that, it would make me sick. Yeah. I can't.
You'd just be in the corner vomiting.
There were players for Louisville that had trouble not vomiting, just being, you know, just seeing it there during the game. I mean, there's a lot of talk about CBS getting a lot of credit. They were airing the game. They're getting a lot of credit for the way they handled it because, you know, that's a split second decision that you don't see coming.
Right.
But they showed it twice immediately right after it happened, but it was a long shot. And then they never showed it again. And they never, you know, the 10 minutes that he's laying out on the court before they, you know, while they're working on him and trying to settle him down and then put him on the stretcher and take him off, you know, they never give us a close up or anything like that.
But the announcers.
Whoa! Whoa! Oh, man! Oh, man! Oh, man!
They did not like it.
The bone coming through the skin, you guys.
Oh,
couldn't
God.
Watch it. Couldn't do
right?
it.
Right?
Nope. So awful.
So they took him to Methodist Hospital. I guess, where was the game, Kevin? It was in Indianapolis?
I'm not sure about that one. I think so,
They took him to Methodist Hospital. School officials said the leg was broken in two places. It was reset. A rod was inserted into his right tibia, which is something I've long dreamed to do with Elisa, by the way. He's expected to stay in Indianapolis till at least Tuesday. They had to do surgery immediately. I would think I don't know why that would be a question. Of course you do surgery immediately because the guy's, you know, his leg is broken.
Yeah.
But they said they had to do it as fast as possible because of the risk of infection because of the open fracture.
Oh,
man.
Now, here's the most remarkable thing about this whole deal to me. Is that they say that he should be able to return next season.
Really?
Oh, I heard a year, meaning a year from now, which means he would miss next season. But if he could make it for next season, that would be amazing.
Why would you want to? Why would you? I mean, I guess
that's his whole life.
Right, but wouldn't you be afraid with every step that you were going to break that leg that can't be as strong as it used to be? I would.
I would say that.
I don't know that I'd
want to
risk that.
Fear, yeah.
Apparently, Michael Bush played for Louisville and played football for Louisville and had the exact same injury when he was playing and went on to have a productive NFL career. Played for Oakland, played for Chicago. So he came back. So I guess you can. I guess the human body is miraculous. But you looked at that last night, man. You just wonder how a guy like that can walk, much less play basketball.
Ever walk again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad times, kids. Bad times. Well, no bueno.
Not a positive if that's what you're looking for.
But silver lining, I guess, is that Louisville ended up winning the game, knocking Duke out. They hated Duke.
Right.
And now has a great deal of incentive to continue to play well and win. You know, they're going to win for wear is what they're saying now.
That's not a very good slogan.
No, it's a slogan they prefer not to have.
Win for wear. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abiso, shall we?
Enough of your jibber jabber.
Let's talk to Matt Money Smith today about the Final Four.
Okay.
Now that it's set. We also have beer mug on the red carpet of G.I. Joe.
Woo! Can't wait.
Sure, that was strong. We haven't heard any of it. We refuse to listen to it until it goes on the air.
Hey, all I know is beer mug talked to the freaking Rock.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that... that
means I'm excited.
That's A, but I'm saying B isn't necessarily true. Maybe we don't hear The Rock. Maybe The Rock walks on. We don't know what happened.
Maybe The Rock recognizes the Agent of Darkness.
Right, exactly. And says, no darkness for me. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Carson Daly, the host of The Voice.
Man, that voice is a good show.
It is. I really like it.
All I know is it has that super hot midget.
Yeah, Shakira.
Who
unfortunately they hired her while she's super pregnant, Kevin. So she's not as hot as you would like her to be. But I know you think you have no time for another singing show on television. But man, the voice is good.
I've never had time for one singing show.
But
you think this
is
the one?
This would be the one.
All right.
This is the one. Absolutely.
All right. Seth Green will be in the studio.
Oh, we haven't seen him in a long time.
We're excited about that. He's got a couple of new movies coming out.
Awesome.
And Chris Hardwick. Talking about last night's The Walking Dead.
Or as Kevin refers to it on Twitter, The Waking Dead.
Did I say waking?
Yeah.
Right. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew will also be in the studio. They're doing a podcast together, and it's number one. Everything Adam touches turns to gold, people.
Yep.
So we got them coming in as well. We will take a break, and we will... Oh, by the way, we also have your tickets for the How You Like Me Now section for April Foolishness, which is this Saturday.
Yes, I'm so excited.
So it's what's normally the pit. We put chairs there, and we're going to give away some of those seats coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
How about Depeche Mode at Staples Center at the end of September in the first five rows? You can win those tickets all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. In fact, you can score tickets in the fifth row today in the 7 o'clock hour. Details at K-Rock.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Fifth row.
Not too bad.
Fifth row.
Now, you cannot call on the fifth row day and say, well, I'll just wait and get something closer.
What's tomorrow?
Probably fourth.
Then F you fifth day. That's what I'm saying.
But there's no guarantee if you wait, you'll win tomorrow, though, Ralph.
I'm
so you might want to just take the fifth.
I'm winning.
You can't
win. I'm a winner.
First of all, you can't
What
win.
The what?
You work here.
This is some BS. This place just has more drawbacks than ever.
A lot of fine print, that's for sure.
G.I. Joe, real American hero.
It's funny.
G.I. Joe is there.
I went to that movie. I kept listening for that theme, and it was not in the movie. They must have left it out. That's a big oversight.
That's ridiculous. That's a dumb thing for them to do, because it's the greatest theme ever. Give me a little G.I. Joe, will you?
Yo, Joe!
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe! G.I. Joe is there. It's G.I. Joe against Cobra, the enemy, fighting to save the day.
Yeah.
He never gives up.
No.
He's always there.
Yes.
Fighting for freedom
yes.
over land and air.
Yes.
G.I.
Joe.
G.I. Joe
is there. G.I. Joe is there, bitches.
Does seem like an oversight to leave that out. It seems like something that modern audiences would insist on.
Yes.
He's fighting Cobra, his enemy.
Not how it goes.
Stupid.
Don't do it if you can't do it right.
I did it right.
He'll save.
There's more. What the hell?
G.I. Joe will dare.
There's verse two.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Mm. I love that song.
That's a bad theme.
You are high.
That's possible, too.
Well, the fact that they left the theme out of the movie didn't slow down the box office for G.I. Joe Retaliation. As we look at the number one movie at the box office this weekend, $41.2 million made it number one. The Croods came in at number two. Tyler Perry's Mother Effin' Temptation was third at the box office
That's
this weekend.
That's the name of it?
$22.3 million.
Wow.
Stop it.
Black
Stop
people have
it,
to go
people.
To the movies too, Ralph.
Well, they can go see G.I. Joe.
Stop it.
Olympus Has Fallen, fourth. Oz the Great and Powerful, fifth. You know, again, about this Tyler Perry thing, who I have called the herpes of cinema. In his latest outbreak, it made me realize that the Madea phenomenon may be fading. But when Tyler Perry cooks up one of these horrible potboiler sort of romantic dramas where people are doing people wrong and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Still huge audience for that. It's nuts.
That's racist.
The Host, sixth. The Call, seventh. The Admission, eighth. The Spring Breakers, ninth. And The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, 10th. In the top 10 as we look at the box office this weekend. Every once in a while, you hear about a celebrity couple breaking up and you go, I had no idea they were even dating. Never more so have I had that experience than this morning when I found out that actress Rosario Dawson, who just couldn't be more lovely, broke up with her longtime boyfriend, director Danny Boyle.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Who knew? Who knew? Danny Boyle, by the way, has that new movie Trance coming up.
That looks
awesome.
Great.
He's a great director.
He only makes awesome movies.
I had no idea the two of them were together. They've dated for the past 5 years.
Wow.
Wait, you didn't know either, Bean?
No, did not.
That's got to kill you.
That's you don't like to stay current. I guess you don't like to stay current.
I guess that I got my head in the sand again.
That's right. They have a pretty big age difference. She's 33. He's 56.
Oh.
So good for you.
Good for him.
Good for you, Danny Boyle. Of course, she said about her ex, he's wonderful. And she doesn't want to dish any dirty details about the breakup, but they will still remain very close and the best of friends.
That is a huge age difference, but Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, Danny Boyle is not an icky old person. He seems like a young,
he's
you know,
cool, hip dude.
Hip guy, yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
We've had him in. He's a talented,
super smart, funny,
and rock on tour, tells great stories, and he's just charming as heck. Gotta love the Irish. Hey, today, get yourself to Washington.
Okay, why?
Because it's the 135th annual Easter egg hunt.
Today?
Today.
Oh.
Huh.
Everybody's going to be on hand for the Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn this morning. First dog, Bo, will be helping out, they say.
That's great.
Listen to this guest list. Listen who's going to be showing up. Bugs Bunny, Dora the Explorer, the Cat in the Hat, Snoopy, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, SpongeBob SquarePants, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and Scooby-Doo will all be in attendance. That is a great list of stars to have at an event like this. Don't you think?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, Bugs Bunny, you hardly see him do any personal appearances anymore. He's pretty much become a recluse ever since Yosemite Sam died.
That's true.
Yeah.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be showing up, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Obama and Biden. Yeah. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Ruh-roh. Said Scooby-Doo. Hey, Bean, you know who started the first Easter egg hunt?
I don't.
You don't know anything.
I don't know anything about anything.
First Lady Dolly Madison.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. And she started baking those cakes. It's good times. And Amanda Bynes, her parents are finally stepping in and staging an intervention for their nutty little daughter. I don't know if you saw the photos last week of her walking around Times Square with a shirt over her head bumping into things. It's good times. Why so soon, family of Amanda Bynes? Why are you stepping in now? When she had her cheeks pierced and started wearing a crazy long wig and Instagramming pictures of herself in fluorescent blue lipstick, you thought she was fine?
Does seem
now,
like it.
Now walking around Times Square, banging into light poles, now all of a sudden there's a problem?
Does seem like it's been about 2 years since somebody should have stepped in.
Yeah, they are said she is. They're convinced that she needs some professional help. And they're trying to get her the help she needs. To which I say, hey, easy. I got five shows a week and one on Saturday I got to do, filled with nutty celebrities, okay? So yeah. Back off. Someone's trying to make a living, Amanda Bynes' family. Damn. General Hospital turns 50 today.
Wow.
50 years on television.
It's still on?
That's nuts. Yeah, it's still on. God, I love me some Port Charles. Remember when Luke and Laura got married?
No. I totally do.
It was good times.
Yep. Never watched
big,
that show.
Big deal.
Yeah.
He raped her, you know.
Oh, that's how he fell in love.
Crazy. Whoa.
That's
whoa.
How you get a girl to fall in love with you.
Yeah. Whoa.
He raped her and then she fell in love with him?
Sure, Kevin.
No. They had the biggest marriage that had ever been seen on TV.
Negative.
Open up a blog.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Reggae singer Jimmy Cliff is 65 years old. Method Man celebrates his 42nd birthday. Actor Sam Huntington from Being Human, he is 31 years old. And actor Matt Lanter from 90210 turns 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is Daft Punk.
What just happened? How did it just turn into a dance party up in here?
It's Daft Punk. We just played Daft Punk.
That's a good way to start a Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Our friend Carson Daly, the host of The Voice, joins us in about 10 minutes. Plus, we've got your tickets up close in the How You Like Me Now section of the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2013. That's next hour right here on K-Rock. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, what's going on, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. It seems a little early in his Michael Jackson-esque career to already have a monkey, but what's going on with your pal Justin Bieber?
How interesting you say that. That's it's so true that I never thought of the parallel.
Yeah. He hasn't really quite done enough to be crazy enough to have a monkey or buy the Elephant Man's bones yet.
But he's on the right road.
He is clearly on the right road, he's, for sure.
But he's trying to take shortcuts. I mean, come on, let's be honest. At least Michael Jackson, you got the idea he sort of liked the monkey. To me, this is just like another hat for Justin.
You know, I get it.
You know what I mean? It's just an accoutrement.
I mean, but it's just really, guys, the monkey is kind of the least of his problems right now.
True.
But if you want to start with a monkey, I'll do the monkey.
Let's start with the monkey.
Yeah. Okay, How did he end up with a monkey in the first place?
He has these pets. I mean, anything that's kind of cool that he thinks is cool, which, you know, they're the worst pets in the world to have, you know, right?
Yes.
They rip your face off.
Right.
And they crap all over you.
And why couldn't this one have done that?
So,
come on, we were counting on it.
He landed at the Munich airport, and the customs people had a problem with the monkey. And apparently what happened was he did not have the proper documentation. They put the monkey in quarantine. It was a gift from a producer. But, you know, Justin is now famous for accepting pet gifts and then giving the pets away. So I don't know what he's going to do with this monkey. But honest to God, it is so not the biggest problem that he's got going right now.
What is the biggest problem he's got?
That would be the Sheriff's Department is now going to recommend, we found out, that Justin Bieber be prosecuted for allegedly spitting in his neighbor's face and threatening to kill him. Yeah.
It's the greatest day of my life.
So, yeah, I mean, he's, and look, officially the Sheriff's Department is going to say that's not true. We are still investigating. I can tell you that we have law enforcement sources, and they are going to, recommend this because he's had this escalating pattern of misconduct.
Yes,
he has. From smoking dope to getting in fights to all of these things, car accidents, speeding, reckless driving, and now this. And they think that he needs a come to Jesus. So it's not so much they want to send him to jail, but they think he needs to be prosecuted and then give him some kind of counseling, mandatory counseling. But it's bad. I mean,
send
it is
him
really
to,
bad.
Send him to jail. Who's more made for jail than him?
Yeah, you know what jail is, right?
Yeah.
He would be very popular in jail.
Oh, geez.
Let's just say he'd be on the bottom. Back to you.
Harvey, if it were just two guys fighting on the streets and one said, hey, I'm going to kill you and spit, there's no way in a million years you get arrested for that for reals, though, right?
That's not true.
No, I think if you spit in their face.
Spitting is it's a really aggressive act. A really aggressive act. And, oh, God, I don't know why I just thought something.
Say it.
Should I say it or not?
Say it.
I was just thinking of like how disgusting it is that somebody spit. But you know, I swim every day at a pool at a gym, and somebody today left a Kotex in the pool.
All right,
oh, Harvey.
I wish you wouldn't have said that.
I was just thinking of aggressive acts.
That was probably also Bieber, by the way. She probably was in the pool before you.
But you know, it's really not only aggressive, but when you think about it, I mean, there are all sorts of problems, health problems that come from this. And, you know, look, it's his neighbor. He spit in his face, allegedly. And look, there's now eyewitnesses who are saying they saw it, too, even though Bieber denies it, and then threatened to kill the guy. So I got to say, that's not the kind of thing where you just say, oh, yeah, forget about it.
Throw this out in your meeting today, Harvey, because we were having this discussion on the air on Friday, and Ralph Garman brought up an excellent point, exactly what you're talking about how spitting is so aggressive. He said, and I'd love to know what your newsroom thinks about this, that he would rather somebody pee on him than spit on him.
Well, look, pee is supposedly really clean.
Right.
Right. That was his thinking, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're both disgusting, but pee is at least really clean. Spit can carry all sorts of gnarly things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'm not a doctor.
What? That surprises me, actually, because you do it all.
I'm a doctor of law. So I guess I can say that, then.
Sure.
I guess spitting is worse.
Sure.
That's my professional opinion.
I'm just glad that we're able to give a breakfast time conversation of spit versus urine on today's Kevin DeBeard show.
Don't forget the Kotex.
And the Kotex too, right?
Thanks for bringing
this conversation
back.
Had everything. All right, TMZ.com. That's where you go to follow all the great stories. Check your local listings for TMZ on TV. And when in Hollywood, be sure to take the TMD tour. You'll love it. Thanks, Harvey. Great to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, guys.
Does anybody have a really weird song about Carson Daly?
Carson Daly.
Go.
Okay. What was that? Was that the latest from Cake? What was that?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know either. That was terrible.
Seems unnecessary, though, doesn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of The Voice, the man who will save the NBC Broadcasting Network.
Please,
Carson Daly joins us in the studio.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Wow.
That is terrible.
I don't think we need to hear that anymore.
Gosh. Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here on the World Famous Carol.
Well, hey, Bean, it's great to have you, Carson. And I know you waved me off there, but the truth is they are on the phone with you every single day saying, can you guys make more voices? Because it's the only show on NBC people are watching. I mean, they have been begging for you to come back with this show. Last week was their highest rated show again, right?
Can I just start with the fact that like two or three years ago when The Voice started, I sat in this very studio.
Yep.
And somebody in here thought doing The Voice, another one of these singing competitions, was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah,
Who was that person?
And
it was you, Kevin.
It was me. I looked Carson in the eye and I said, this is the worst
idea
ever.
This is going to fail.
Oh, we
are going to fail.
Singing. I did. I said all
and
of
look
that.
At us now, bitch.
Look at you now.
I couldn't
look,
be happier.
Kevin was like, oh,
all
right,
good. I just wanted to get that out.
Chairs. Oh,
Kevin,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
This will last. Captain Kirk chairs turning around and people singing. Who wants to watch Adam Levine?
But I noticed that you got rid of CeeLo Green because he couldn't reach the button.
No. Oh, how
so
dare you?
You replaced him with somebody who's got arms.
That's terrible. That is so mean. I will so use that later today, though.
let me say this, because for folks who haven't watched The Voice and they think it's just another in a long line of mediocre singing competitions, it is extraordinary television. And here's part of the reason why is because you have, they're not judges as much as they're coaches. You have four legitimate superstars on your panel. And what's fascinating to me is how into it they are. It doesn't look like it's a paycheck for them. They look like they are seriously invested in these people and wanting to win this game. I mean, when Adam Levine, like he did last Monday night, threatens to set himself on fire if somebody doesn't come be on his team, that's commitment. What are they getting out of it that they love it so much, Carson?
Well, you know, that's where we go. You know, we knew CeeLo and Christina were going to take some time off, and then it's just like, all right, who are we going to get? And part of the litmus of who we're going to get, you've got to be, you know, probably one of the biggest artists in the world. And the second thing is you have to kind of do the show for the right reason. It's not a great answer, but, you know, we're looking for like for people who want to actually help and not me, or we're doing this to reboot our career. You know, we're looking for people who like get what we're trying to do, and they're either earnest about it and it pays off by having, you know, pretty decent TV on in prime time, or they're me about it and they just look like, you know, a-holes.
So you got Usher, and you also got the hottest midget ever, Shakira.
Yeah, great.
Unbelievable.
What's she like in person?
She's fantastic.
Is she awesome?
Oh, she's great.
Can you set me up with her?
No. No, how dare you? No, she's had a baby.
Oh, wait.
Shakira, when we shot the blind auditions, was 5 months pregnant.
She's blind?
So she was... it's so hard to be interviewed here. I'm kidding.
Sorry.
I mean, she's great. I think everybody who... You know, the girl crush thing is popular with Jennifer Lawrence or Zooey Deschanel. I think as people, the girls start to discover Shakira, she's so likable and she's sweet and super hot.
I want to talk about some of the people that you had on last week, including the Morgan twins. Tell Kevin about the Morgan twins and why he needs a poster of them on his wall.
The Morgan twins, we were skeptical to we showed up in episode 401 with them, the very first episode, and it looked maybe a little gimmicky because they're super hot, 20-something blonde twins,
right?
But they actually can sing really, really well, and their whole thing has been like, oh, they're a Doublemint commercial, and we're like, well, this is why we have The Voice, you know, to try and help people like you who've never gotten taken serious a day in your life, and you actually do have talent, and they did an Alicia Keys song, and they got a bunch of chairs to turn, and they were great, and they're super hot.
And they each have twins also, if you get my meaning.
They have boobs.
I'm just saying they look like they went to the same doctor on the same day for the same boob job is what I'm saying.
Being it's pretty so oblique. We can't figure out what he's saying.
That's right.
No, they were incredible. And I think it's also fun to see the contestants and what their attitude is. The funniest one from last week, Carson, I don't remember which one she is. I think she was a Latin singer. But she said, I'm going to walk through those doors and this is going to change my life. What happens here today is going to be the beginning of a new career for me. This is the most important moment of my life. It all starts here. Nobody pushed their button. Nobody turned around. She didn't get picked. So when she walked out, you know what she said? Well, today's the beginning of my new life. Now is when it starts. Now is when it begins. Now is when nothing could dissuade her from the fact that she knew she was going to make it in the music business. And that's
right.
Often a mistake for a contestant, right?
Well, you never know. I mean, think of poor me. I have to sit in those rooms with these families, and it's just feast or famine back there.
Oh,
a chair turns, it's Christmas, and then I walk right into another little room, you know, 1 minute later, and people have flown in from Minnesota, and their sweet little child got no chairs to turn, and they think that they're worthless.
How much anger
It depends, but there's been times where, I mean, I've had to, like, talk to the family and just be like, really? Really? Like, your son, who's 18 years old, just came out of the closet, didn't get a chair to turn, and you can't, like, give him a hug? Really? One father actually said, when none of the chairs turned, and I was like, oh, you know, kind of like golf clap, he just mumbled under his breath, and he just said, oh, look at that. They don't want him. Nobody wants him.
Oh, my
God.
Well, I guess I was right, he went on to say. He was one of these fathers that was just like, you either come to – his storyline was like, come to work for me. Don't mess around the entertainment. And his kid was like, no, I can do it. I can do it. I wanted to punch that guy in the face.
Was that the guy who was the roofer in Minnesota?
It wasn't a Minnesota. I'm putting that together. But no,
okay.
It was last season. It was somebody. I forgot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's mixed. I mean, some people come in. It's like, all right, let's go get a drink. Way to go. You made it on this TV show.
Right.
You made it this far.
That's what everybody
awesome.
Should.
That's what we all should be like.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of families out there that are like, they're riding on this thing. And I'm just like,
right.
This is a TV. Your kid had 90 seconds. The coaches don't know anything about their storyline that we all just saw. Like,
right. That's the part. That's what I wanted to bring up. And that's what's so heart-wrenching for the viewers is that you are milking it, man, because you've got a guy on there who's taking care of his mom who has lung cancer with 2 months to live and only wants to see him on TV.
That's right.
And then if he doesn't get picked, we all know that. The judges don't know anything about that, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. But that's what it takes to get good TV, Bean.
That's right. You got to be able to break some hearts.
You want to hold up a network with one pillar. You better pull some heartstrings.
Well, I know you have to go back to your real job, but
no, I'm going to stay here. I hate it over there.
No, you don't. You don't hate it over there.
It's so toasty warm up here on the dial.
Speaking
of 106.7.
Speaking of over there, let me just say this. So we don't mention competition very much, but if you
let's be honest, I'm not competent.
If you like Kiss FM or their brand of music or Ryan Seacrest or whatever, you're on the wrong boat. You're missing the boat.
Yeah.
Carson Daly is, and he's a friend of ours. He's been a friend of ours for a long time.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders above.
Well,
if you want that kind of entertainment, go to Carson at 97.1.
Thank you, buddy.
Seriously.
Go now. Go quick, everybody.
Serious.
Let's have this as an April Fool's tester. Mass Exodus. This will be the day K-Rock lost all their listeners.
No, I don't want K-Rock listeners to go. I'm saying if you like
We play Lumineers
FM.
Now, everybody. Come on down.
And the voice airs Monday
down
and
there on the dial,
Tuesday nights at 8 on NBC. Let's close with that Carson Daly theme song that we love so much.
Let's not. You want it? You want this? Oh, come on.
We'll put that on a CD and give it to you.
Let's not. All right, I got
to
go.
Please tell Mr. Grammer I'm actually not speaking with him. You're going to have to introduce him this time, Kevin.
Ralph, your dreams have come true.
Bean's no longer speaking to you.
What,
I don't know why.
What have I done to deserve this bounty? It's an Easter miracle. Or is this some cruel April Fool's Day prank?
No, it's completely true because I watched a little show called Doctor Who on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it was great. Oh. And I want to know why Ralph never mentioned it to us that Doctor Who was a really good show.
Did you enjoy that? Did you?
I did.
Douchebag.
I thought it was outstanding.
Why didn't you ever mention that, Ralph?
You should have brought it up.
I don't know. I've only been saying it for the past 15 years and it's only been on the air for the past 50. So I'm glad you're aware of this new show called Doctor Who that's on television.
I think it has promise.
But you have to start from the beginning, Bean. I mean, you can't just pick it up now.
I'm just saying, give a brother a heads up when something like that comes along. Ugh. That's good. All right, Ralph, that's all I'm saying. Come on, help us out. All right, 6:55, Matt Money Smith joins us to talk NCAA men's college basketball.
Communism.
That'll be after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, let me give you away some tickets. These are for the event coming up this Saturday, April 6th at Santa Anita Park.
Yeah!
Santa Anita, of course, is in Arcadia, right? Arcadia, California?
Yes.
Right there, east of Pasadena. You can get there via the 210 or the 110 or I think the 405. You can take the Route 66, anywhere. You can get there from anywhere. It's the big racetrack out there, and K-Rock is doing a big event out there. It's an infield concert featuring iRation. And there are also horse races. That's the reason I would like to go. There's beer. There's food.
It's beer and gambling. What do you want?
You name it. Plus, you get to hang out with the likes of Stryker, Kat Corbett, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning, Omar, and Dave the King of Mexico. It's all happening infield at Santa Anita Park this Saturday, April 6th. Here is what you get if you're a winner. I've got two of these VIP packages. This is admission for four people, so you and three friends get to go. Backstage access, eight drink tickets, $106 in a voucher that you can use to place wagers on the ponies there at the track.
Nice.
This is quite the package deal. Why don't you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Two winners who get through with that number will be awarded with the Santa Anita VIP package. Racing, by the way, is all day long, and the gates open at 10 a.m. if you want to head out there yourself. Admission, I think, is like $5 or something if you don't win. It's really worthwhile. So go have a good time this Saturday. And tell all those kids I said hi. Except that Stryker.
Why?
He owes me money.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is sad news. Corey Monteith, you know him as Finn from Glee.
Yeah.
He has just announced he's checked himself into rehab.
That sucks.
Yeah, voluntarily admitted himself to a treatment facility for substance addiction. His representatives tell USA Today he graciously asks for your respect and privacy as he takes the necessary steps toward recovery. Look, at least he said, look, I got a problem. I got to get some help before something happened where he was popped for a DUI or something like that.
That's more than Beer Mug's willing to do.
That's right. Beer Mug's out of control and doesn't even care. He has talked before about his out-of-control behavior as a teenager. At the age of 13, he was getting drunk, smoking pot, skipping school in Victoria, British Columbia, his hometown. This was after his parents divorced. I was doing anything and everything as much as possible. At 19, he went into rehab for the first time. Now at 30, he recognizes that he needs to get some help again. His girlfriend, Lea Michele, also from Glee, of course, released a statement saying that she is proud and grateful that Corey made this decision, and she's going to be standing by him. So, best of luck, Corey Monteith. Hope nobody throws a slushie in his face when he first gets there.
Right.
That'd be a bad way to welcome Corey to the new gigs. It's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, G.I. Joe! Retaliation.
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe, number one at the box office, $41.2 million.
You guys see that?
I didn't get a chance this weekend.
I did.
I was busy.
How is it, Kevin?
I liked a lot.
I heard it's good.
I mean, if you're the kind of person that likes to pick movies apart, there's some stuff you could hang your hat on.
But if you're a kind of person like loud movies, then you good go now happy.
A lot of action. Love it.
Loved it. I had a show on Saturday and then Easter on Sunday. How'd you find time to go to the movies this weekend?
I didn't have a show on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Croods, number two at the box office. Tyler Perry's Temptation was third. Olympus Has Fallen, fourth. Oz the Great and Powerful was number five. Then The Host, The Call, Admission, Spring Breakers, and The Incredible Burt Wonderstone rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jimmy Cliff. He's 65 years old today. Whoever thought Jimmy Cliff would make 65? Not me. Method Man, 42 years old. MSNBC host Rachel Maddow is 40 years old. Sam Huntington from Being Human, it turns 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Beer mug on the red carpet of the movie G.I. Joe, talking to The Rock and other stars of the film. We'll hear those in about 15 minutes and then give you a chance to get up close for the How You Like Me Now section of Kevin and Bean's sold-out April Foolishness concert, which is this Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Our friend Matt Money Smith on the phone now from the Petros & Money nationally syndicated sports show. Kevin, here today because it's the opening day for Dodgers and Angels, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Matt Money Smith.
Really?
Hey, buddy. How are you, man?
162, that's what I'm talking about right there.
I thought we were talking about the Final Four.
No, screw that. We're over that already. It's baseball time. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Money, I just want to point out, as I get closer to winning some money from you this year, that with the Astros' win yesterday, the Mariners are only in second place in the American League West.
Is that by alphabetical ranking, or how does that work there?
I'm just saying, I'm just keeping a close eye on the scoreboard. I just want to know if the season ended today, we might get in as a wild card. That's what I'm saying.
How many games are there in a season? 162?
That's it, Kevin. So we got to get on this right away.
162 times this year, Bean will say, if the season ended today.
And then, ironically, when the season does end, the Mariners won't be anywhere near the playoffs because that's the way
I get another check in the mail.
You guys do your same bet, though, right? You do Angels?
Absolutely.
Angels against Mariners.
Mariners, better record, further in the playoffs, right?
Kevin, you do not have to ask me. I have won this bet for 12 consecutive years.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, I'm sending your kids to college, man. You've made that very clear to me.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about one of the most painful moments in the history of television, not just in sports, but in drama, too. Tell me where you were and what you thought when you saw that poor young man, Kevin Ware, break his leg on the court yesterday, Money.
Yeah, it was horrible. I was on my couch watching the game, and, you know, it reminds me, I wasn't at Staples Center when Sean Livingston broke his leg, but I was watching that game live as well.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind, just one of the most brutal injuries you've ever seen. And, you know, CBS did the right thing. They obviously, because you could see the emotion on the players' faces, and Rick Pitino is crying, and the stretcher comes out. So I think you're sort of held to some level of responsibility to show it again, but the fact they pulled wide and gave you that angle instead. I mean, look, for people that haven't seen it, if you're curious, don't. I'm just telling you, that's not one.
No, that is great advice, because the leg just turns at a right angle as it hits the court, and you'll never forget it. It's just, it's so awful, and it's remarkable to me that he's had surgery. They put a pin in it, and they say that he's going to be able to play again.
Yeah.
Saturday?
He's playing Saturday. That's what's remarkable.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, not Saturday, but, I mean, look, and that's a kid that, You get these stories in the tournament where teams have their superstars, but in order to win an NCAA tournament, you got to find these, you know, kind of role players that step up and increase their role and increase their production. And Kevin Ware was that guy for Louisville. Look, they're still the best team in the tournament.
Do you still expect them to go all the way?
Yeah, absolutely. There is one wild card, and that's, you know, Michigan, and we've talked about Michigan before and how talented they are, and they have the best player, and a lot of times the best player ends up winning the tournament, like Carmelo Anthony did with Syracuse when they certainly weren't the most talented team, but he was the best. And that's what Trey Burke is, the point guard for Michigan, who's been the best player in the tournament. I mean, it's been ridiculous what he's doing.
A lot of times, one of the Saturday games is the best game of the weekend. Not always, but a lot of times one of the Saturday games is. So you got Louisville and Wichita State, and you have Michigan and Syracuse.
Yeah, that's the one. Michigan and Syracuse is the one. Yeah, just because, to get a, you know, sort of technical, Syracuse runs this 2-3 matchup zone, which Jim Boeheim is famous for. So famous that coaches go to Syracuse, watch his practices, try to figure out why he's the one guy. He and Rick Pitino run a matchup zone, why they're successful at it. Because most other coaches won't play zone because it's too hard. You know, guys don't have an assignment. They get confused. They get lazy and teams score, but not. I mean, Syracuse has held their teams to, you know, under 30% shooting every last one of them. So the way you beat a zone is to have a talented guy on the perimeter that can dribble the hell out of the ball and attack it. And Trey Burke happens to be the best point guard and the best player in the draft, so it really is a contrast of styles. You know, can this wildly talented Michigan offense with a bunch of names on the back of their jerseys that you know, Hardaway Jr., Robinson III, and, you know, and Trey Burke, the player of the year, can they do it, or will the, you know, brilliant mastermind head coach and his defensive system hold down raw talent? So that really kind of becomes, I think, the best narrative of the two games.
Is March Madness more about the coach than any other, than the pros, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say yes and no. You know, Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo had to knock each other out, and then Rick Pitino knocked one of those guys out. Jim Boeheim, you know, I mean, look, you have two of the best coaches in the history of the game, Rick Pitino and Jim Boeheim in there. John Beilein, who's the head coach of Michigan, is no slouch. He made West Virginia relevant and has brought back Michigan. You know, they were just like Indiana, where we had not heard from Michigan for almost a decade after the Fab Five. And now, you know, that's probably the, you know, next to Louisville, the most talented team in the tournament. And, you know, Greg Marshall, who's the head coach at Wichita, he's going to get a lot of big offers. I mean, this is no joke of a team. And, you know, they nearly won their conference. They lost to Creighton at the, in the last second. But this is a really, these are four really good coaches, and that's what you'll find.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money radio show here on the world-famous K-Rock. We're talking about the Final Four happening next weekend, the first two games on Saturday, and then the finals are going to be next Monday night. Is there anybody out of the, what, 10 million brackets or whatever that come out every year for the tournament? Is there anybody, even in Wichita State, who had the Shockers in the Final Four, Matt?
Oh, you know what? Believe it or not, probably just because the bracket they got to go through was the, what some people said was the easiest bracket. No one liked the number one seed Gonzaga. They thought they got it by default because of their record, and the AP had them number one, but they really weren't one of the best teams. And that was evidenced by them being, you know, what some people said was the last number one seed. Louisville was the top seed. Gonzaga was the fourth number one. So now you have a weak number one. They had to play the number two team, and that was Ohio State, who just so happened to kind of fall asleep in the first half, you know, and by the time they woke up and made their run, they were down 20 points with 10 minutes left. So it was just too late. I mean, that was, you know, that, look, obviously they earned it, but Ohio State, for one reason or another, just could not get things going in those first 20 minutes. So, you know, the number three team gets knocked out. It was a much simpler path than, say, Louisville had to go through, you know, by beating either Duke or Michigan State in the Elite Eight.
So do you think it's Louisville versus Michigan Monday night? And if so, who wins?
I do. I mean, it'd be pretty great to see Louisville versus Syracuse just because it'd be Boeheim and Pitino and these two masterminds of this particular style of defense. But, yeah, I just got that, like I said, that Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis last year for Kentucky kind of feeling where you're watching greatness on the floor with Trey Burke. And it's, you know, whenever his team's down, you're just like, yeah, whatever, just give the ball to him and he'll make something happen.
Let me ask you one more question before we say goodbye, and that is, since we're talking college basketball, a lot of people would be curious about this new UCLA coach. Good hire?
Tough to say. I mean, you know, the problem with, I guess, you know, to make a long answer longer, the Internet allows you to find out what they want to do, you know, and we know that Dan Guerrero, their AD, desperately wanted Shaka Smart, and he turned him down, the kid from VCU, the guy from VCU is a very young coach, but exciting style of basketball. Then he wanted the most popular young coach in college basketball, Brad Stevens, the guy that took Butler to back-to-back national championship games. He said no. So I think because you have those two things hanging over it, it's like, meh, I guess Steve Alford's all right. You know, that's the problem. I mean, he's a great coach. He's done great things in New Mexico. His big problem, though, is, A, he doesn't win in the tournament. He hasn't been to the Sweet 16 in a decade.
Right.
And B, he kind of runs a similar style of play, you know, the team that Ben Howland is. Very disciplined, defense first. And that was kind of, I guess, one of the talking points for UCLA, that they wanted a more exciting brand of basketball to get people in the seats at Pauley. So
they could take Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
He's a fan of that.
Look at that. Yeah, you could probably swap it. You know what? Actually, Steve Alford would probably be a better fit for the Lakers.
There you go. All right, well, we're out of time, Money. I know you'll be talking about all of this and much, much more this afternoon. And say hi to the P-Force, man. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Why does Kevin hate?
How dare you?
A guy can't be well-groomed and articulate and not be gay in Kevin's universe. You know that, Ralph. Come on. Yeah. All right. Congratulations to Yanicia Carranza. She is from Santa Ana and just won tickets in the fifth row to see The Mode. We got Depeche Mode tickets all this week here on K-Rock. Fifth row today and then fourth tomorrow and then third on Wednesday. And you can figure out how the rest of that goes. You can check it out. All the details are available for you at krock.com.
All right. Beer mug on the was it black carpet?
It was the black carpet, yes.
World premiere of G.I. Joe. Yep.
It's always a black carpet when Beer Mug's on there doing
interviews. It is, yeah. Black day when Beer Mug lives.
He's out there with the microphone getting ready.
Beer Mug here at the black carpet world premiere of G.I. Joe Retaliation. G.I. Joe! Real American hero.
I'm glad you stole my shtick.
I put a little twist on it. But.
So I believe he's talking to the director about Duke Channing Tatum's character. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And Beer Mug asks the question and then rudely interrupts him.
And a character like Channing Tatum's Duke, originally his character, he dies in the series. Is that, do I have that right?
Yeah, and he dies in the movie. I don't know if I'm allowed.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, you asked the question.
You can't spoiler alert the director. He's allowed to say whatever he wants.
Okay. Especially after you ask him, does he die? And then he says yes, and you enter a spoiler alert.
Had to throw it in there.
What's wrong with you?
But at least you asked the question like a stutterer on crank.
Yeah. Maybe it was two cans of Red Bulls I had.
Jeez. Now, I'm not sure why Brad Cooper was there. He's a Bellator fighter, and he showed up. I don't know if he
Brett,
yeah. I don't know if he had something to do with the fighting or just he was just there to promote himself. But Muggs had a lot of, about as much information as I did on him.
So it'll be your first fight on Monday.
No, it won't be my first fight. No.
Oh, no. But it's as far as the tournament goes.
No, it's the finals.
The finals.
What would the odds? What would the opposite
like that psychic that we have on, the guy who reads our callers.
I'm getting a B. Is there even a name with a B in it? B, B, C, D, E?
What's the opposite of your first fight? Nope, this is the final. Now he's talking to Elodie, I want to say is her name. She's
yes.
A French actress.
She plays Jinx.
She plays Jinx, yeah. Okay.
All the things you like, you forget it.
He's talking about how do you lose the weight? You know, what's the secret to getting down into shape to shoot?
All the things you like, you forget it.
And I can never be a part of that because I cannot give up junk food.
No, it's good. Just for five months. It's nothing.
Listen. I will never give up junk food.
Yeah, Mug. Stick to it, man. It's worked so far.
I'm glad she learned more about you instead of us learning more about her.
I gave up junk food. I will never give up junk. Just for a couple. No, I'm not going to.
I
want to talk about me.
Well, Elodie, were you a fan of the comic book or the cartoon?
No.
All right. Moving on.
Marks is full of questions that the answer is just no. I love that.
Well, that's you make a very beautiful...
That's a legitimate question, though. It's not his fault that her answer was no. It could have led somewhere.
Funny. You learn on the red carpet never to give them yes or no questions. You say, what was your exposure to G.I. Joe before this? Then she has to say something.
I never watched it.
Say, do you read comics? No. Or yes. That's the best you're going to get out of somebody.
Okay. Noted. Well, you make a very beautiful Jinx.
Thank you.
And I would not want to mess with you.
You shouldn't.
I wish she had kicked you right in the neck.
I would kick your ass. Which Real Housewife was there? who was this?
Oh, man. Jesus. I forgot her name. It's really one of the ones from New York.
It really doesn't matter.
What can fans of Housewives expect?
Oh, man.
That's a great question, right?
It's the best.
More
it's classic.
Of the, yeah. More of the show.
I'm guessing more of the exact same thing that they have.
I was really doing somebody a favor on this one, so yeah. I wasn't really
you're
prepared.
Not doing anybody a favor.
Not our listeners. Not our listeners, you weren't.
What can fans of Housewives expect?
A lot of drama, a lot of gossip, and, you know, a lot of nasty bitches.
Bitches are crazy.
Yeah! Bitches are crazy, he Jesus. Says to his guests. Music composer shows up.
Here with the man, the myth, the legend, the composer of G.I. Joe Retaliation, Mr. Henry Jackman. How you doing, sir?
Thank you for that very inflated introduction. It's a total ego boost there.
Please tell me you used the theme from the cartoon. In the movie?
No, I didn't.
No.
At least you're begging him to say, yeah, please tell me you used it. I really want you to have used it.
I mean, essentially, you're saying you're the composer. Please tell me you used somebody else's composition in this film instead of something you wrote.
Yeah. Here comes Adrian Palicki. And you know what? I might not get to interview her, but honestly, just look at the cleavage. She's walking away. Mm. Like real life.
Yeah.
She's walking away.
What a surprise.
Jeez. creepy.
We're going to take your calls in a second. I have one more. I have The Rock. I have Beer Mug with The Rock.
Oh, sweet.
But we're going to take your calls in a second. If you'd like to go to Coachella. I'm sorry. It's not Coachella at all.
No.
It's April Foolishness.
Yeah, it's our comedy show.
Woo, still thinking about last week.
Yeah.
This weekend is April Foolishness, and we have the How You Like Me Now section, which is right up front. And what we're going to need is a punchline from you. A punchline. We don't want the whole joke. Call up 1-800-520-1067. Just give us the punchline. We're going to go through and pick the best one, and then you can tell the joke, and you'll get the tickets in the How You Like Me Now section for April Foolishness. All right. Beer Mug. Extensive interview with The Rock.
Dwayne, how sore are your muscles after a day of filming?
Pretty sore. It all depends. It all depends on who I'm fighting. But yes, pretty sore. But that's okay because like ninjas, I bruise on the inside. I don't show it.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yes.
What just happened?
Now, hold the F.
I got an interview with The
I wanted
Rock.
You guys to hear it.
Can we hear it?
In its beauty. That was the whole interview, and then when his people pull him away after 4 seconds of an answer.
With a horrible question.
Yes. Then,
great question.
The only question he gets is how sore are
your muscles after a day of filming.
Then Muggs starts talking like he just accomplished the world's great.
Yep.
Look at that, kids. How
he
you like me now?
He sang a three-pointer at the buzzer.
That's what he was acting like, yeah.
Dwayne, how sore are your muscles after a day of filming?
Pretty sore. It all depends. It all depends on who I'm fighting. But yes, pretty sore. But that's okay because like ninjas, I bruise on the inside. I don't show it.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
He's talking about himself, or is he making a reference to what The Rock?
No, he's talking about his job interview.
He's talking about his interview with The Rock. Learn, kids.
That's how you get it done.
That's how you do it.
That is less a three-pointer at the buzzer as it is your Kevin Ware of Louisville right now.
No. But he's acting like it's a three-pointer at the buzzer.
Right.
That's the difference. Oh, my God.
He's got a compound fracture, but he's acting like he won the game.
So there you have it, K-Rock listeners. It's a wrap. G.I. Joe Retaliation, Black Carpet World Premiere. Let me tell you that again. So there you have it, world. All right.
Strong finish, though. Jeez. At least he's got the strong finish.
This Saturday night, we will be at the Gibson Amphitheater for the sold-out Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2013. Another great lineup of comedians again this year. VIP reception with Kevin Bean is what you get. A limited edition How You Like Me Now t-shirt and VIP parking. If you win the How You Like Me Now tickets right now as we play a game we like to call Punchline.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into April Foolishness.
Well, we discovered a long time ago that jokes, most people can't tell jokes very well, and most jokes aren't that good. But occasionally, a punchline will come along that is so intriguing that we can't resist it. And that's what we're looking for right now, is just great punchlines at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, so that's all we need. And then if you win, just based on what we think is the funniest, then you tell the joke, and then if we don't hate you, you get to go to April Foolishness.
All right, everybody listen up. Let's see what kind of punchlines we have to choose from. Only one can win.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What's your punchline?
The baby is a little bigger.
The baby is a little bigger.
Intriguing. Right. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to line two. This is going to be Sal joining us on the Kevin Bean. So, hi, Sal.
Hello.
I feel good about this.
What's your punchline?
Because he was stuck in the chicken.
All right. Thank you for calling.
It's a classic. Let's go to Jeremy now, line three. Jeremy, just the punchline, please. What do you got?
Good. Want a screw?
Okay.
All right.
Lisa's intrigued. George is up next, line four. Hi, George. What's your punchline?
One of them was assaulted.
All right.
Oh, I think I know that
That's
one.
Punchline.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Let's go to Amber now, line five. Try to keep track, everybody, and have your favorite in mind, because then we got to decide who's going to win here.
Hi, Amber.
Hi, good morning.
What is your punchline, please?
A prostitute can wash and resell her crack.
Nice.
Okay, good. Hold on.
Leave it to the girl to bring a potty mouth here on the show. Everybody else was being so clean. All right, let's try Jeff, line six.
Hey,
how's it going?
Good, thank you. What's your punchline?
Not so funny when it's your mom, is it?
I do like that.
Thank you.
All right, a couple more, and then we'll choose. Crystal is up next, line seven.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
What's your punchline?
So that they smell like big girls.
Okay. Oh, I like what you did at the end there. That's nice. All right, hang on, Crystal. One more. Nicole will wrap it up here. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
What's your punchline?
Oh, my gosh. It's a talking sausage.
Oh, my gosh. Talking sausage.
All right. So, you guys, the baby is a little bigger because he was stuck in the chicken. Good, what a screw. One of them was assaulted. A prostitute could wash and resell her crack. Not so funny when it's your mom, so they could smell like a big girl. Oh, my gosh, it's a talking sausage. Kevin, who do you think you like?
For me, it's between Jeff, not so funny when it's your mom, and Amber, a prostitute can wash and resell her crack.
How about you, Lise?
I like not so funny when it's your mom,
I think that might be number one for me, yeah. Just barely.
I think I'm okay with Jeff. All right. Like Jeff very much, too. Let's see what he's got to say here.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
What's your joke?
So a 16-year-old kid comes home from school a little early, hears a noise upstairs, goes up, opens the door, and his mom's on all four and dad's behind her, and gives him a big smile and thumbs up. The kid screams, runs out of the room, really upset. About 2 hours later, the dad's downstairs reading the newspaper, hears the noise downstairs, goes in, opens up the door. There's grandma on all fours, and the son's behind her, and he looks at him and goes, "That's so funny, but your mom, isn't it?"
Oh, God!
Yeah!
That joke was every bit as good as the punchline.
So happy you're going to be there. It's April Foolishness in the How You Like Me Now section. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Two of our favorites are in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Seth Green in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. And then Chris Hardwick talking dead about The Walking Dead just after 8:30.
Okay. How about this? What about chopped liver? What? They're the favorites.
We take you for granted because you're here.
I'm just
letting people know that we have some people joining us next hour. Yeah. That's all. It's very exciting.
You're not as good as Seth Green.
We'll have Beer Mug do a show of his beat. See if you miss me then. You're the best. Too late. No. Damage is done.
Beer Mug will show the kids how it's done, though. That's one thing I know about him.
Yeah. Learn, kids.
7:55 now. Here's Ralph Garman.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, G.I. Joe Retaliation kicking some butt at the box office, taking first place with $41.2 million. The Croods came in at number two with $26.5. Tyler Perry's Temptation made an inexplicable $22.3 million. Olympus Has Fallen was fourth, then Oz, The Great and Powerful, The Host, The Call, Admission, Spring Breakers, and Burt Wonderstone, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Meghan McCain, little hottie daughter of Senator John McCain.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's a good one.
She has announced that she is getting a new reality series called Raising McCain. See what she's doing there? Raising McCain.
No.
Oh. She describes it as a cross between Meet the Press and Jackass. Well, that sounds awful.
That does.
That encompasses everything possible.
Yeah. There's two things I really don't want crossing paths. Two aspects of a television show. It's going to be crazy. She's going to deal with the issues, but also show you what happens backstage in the green room when everyone's taking shots of whiskey. Oh, stop it.
Wow.
Stop it. You're not cutting edge. Stop it. I might watch. Disney has announced a follow-up to their Cars hit film franchise with a new movie called Planes.
Okay.
Really?
See what they've done there?
Yes.
It's about a crop duster named Dusty who's afraid of heights. Oh. What's a plane to do? Hope he learns an important lesson about life and love.
I'm sure he will.
He will. Here's your cast. Dane Cook will be playing Dusty the Plane.
Don't you like being a dude?
Okay, not really sure.
Let me think about that.
Not really sure how that ties
Dane
in
Cook.
There, Kev.
Just keep right on.
I appreciate you trying to participate in the program.
Keep right on rolling.
I'm not really sure. Could you maybe explain how that fits into
It's labeled Don't Like Dude. So I thought I was going to say I don't like that dude.
Oh.
But why would it be?
Don't you like being a dude?
That's a very different sentiment.
It is very different.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's what I'm saying. Keep rolling.
Brad Garrett, Terry Hatcher, Cedric the Entertainer, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, John Cleese, and Sinbad. It's an odd mix for a cast. Can't wait to their next franchise, Hovercrafts. Can't wait for that. unicycles. Because they pick any form of transportation to make a movie about it. And Michelle Schacht. I told you about her. She was the former darling of the Lilith Fair set who came back. And she was a born-again Christian. She started performing and she was in San Francisco and went on an anti-gay tirade.
Oh, right.
Emptied the room. Turns out a lot of her dates were canceled after that fact because I guess people don't want to book an artist who's going to insult a large portion of the population. So here's what happened. Thursday night she had a gig in Santa Cruz, California that was canceled, but she showed up anyway outside the club.
Wow.
In a disposable Ballsy. White safety suit with duct tape covering her mouth as a statement against trying to keep down her freedom of speech.
So she used to be a lesbian, now she's a drama queen.
Right.
Wow.
So she played her acoustic guitar outside the club and had a sign inviting passerbys to write things on her white safety suit with a black Sharpie. She had a sign next to her that said, "Does speech scare you that much?" And so she was playing her guitar mute while people wrote on her.
I don't think speech scared people as much as there are consequences to your speech.
No, man. First Amendment, man.
Yeah, but
freedom of speech, man.
All the people that would have gone to her show also have that right.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Right.
It's really not it's First Amendment as much as it is capitalism, where if the consumer decides not to purchase your product, they're entitled to do that.
Yeah, and again, crazy folks Michelle. who throw around the First Amendment. The First Amendment is the government suppressing your speech, and that's not at all what happened.
Come on,
she was
man.
Certainly free to say whatever she wanted to on that stage in San Francisco, and did.
Free Michelle Schacht. Oh, wait a minute. She's not in jail. Mm. Yeah. So all of her gigs have been canceled.
She's not Pussy Riot, for God's sake. She's just she just said something on stage and people didn't like it. That's all.
That's true. Today's celebrity birthday, Sam Huntington from Being Human is 31 years old today. Rachel Maddow from MSNBC turns 40. Method Man's 42. And reggae legend Jimmy Cliff celebrates his 65th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour from right now, the reunion the world has been waiting for. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew together again. They'll be in our studio. Chris Hardwick from The Talking Dead in about a half an hour. Hey, Seth Green. What's going on, man?
Hi, guys.
How you been, buddy? Long time.
It feels like I've just been coming here forever, so I never really notice if I've been gone for a while.
Well, we notice because we expect you to be here every day, and then every once in a while, you're like, hey, where's Seth?
He's on the payroll, right?
Call him.
Yeah, they took my key card.
So how you been, besides crazy busy like you do?
Good. Crazy busy.
Yeah. Still got the family?
Wow. Yeah. He lost nobody's, them somewhere?
Nobody's died in this year.
I just like to butt in and say if the answer is no, we don't want that answer. So
yeah, that's probably true.
Let's not ask that question.
Well, we love having Seth in, and he is always various degrees of busy, but it seems like this is an exceptional time because, of course, you're masterminding a television show, you're on another TV show, and now you have two movies coming out at the same time. Like, what happened to you? Someone lit a fire under your ass.
Not really. I mean, we've been making Robot Chicken for a while, and then we spent the last year setting up our studio and making stuff in there. And then last year I worked on two films and they just happened to be coming out at the same time.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's good.
And great. Then it also coincides with this announcement that I'm going to do this other show. So it's super busy right now.
Well, where do you want to start? Because I want to hear about all of it.
Well,
what's this other show?
I
want
to hear more about the other show.
Well, we should talk about the movies that are coming out.
Okay, the movies that are coming out.
I made this movie called The Story of Luke, which is a dramatic film about a boy with autism who's raised in kind of an isolated area with his caretakers, and then his caretakers die. And so he wants to go out and find out what the world is like for him, and he doesn't recognize that there's anything different or unique about himself.
Is this the story of Bean?
How dare you, actually.
So that's it. I play
a dick. You play a dick?
I do. I play a kind of a jerk who's a little bit on the autism spectrum who, you know, doesn't think that he's been conditioned to believe that he's not worthwhile and that he's not special and that everyone hates him and looks at him with pity. And so he tries to tell this other kid that that's the way autistic people are. Okay. That's their lot in life. But the other kid is so indefatigable that he...
Yeah, this film hit a little too close to home for me. It was very difficult for me to watch. It really was like home movies.
I'm so sorry.
But I didn't realize that autism kids look at normal kids as being weirdos. I didn't realize that until I saw this movie, Seth, which I thought was a good way to look at things.
I mean, I'm sure... I haven't taken enough of a cross-section to know if that's an accurate depiction, but, you know, the character in this movie... is based on several characters. The writer-director of the film spent a lot of time working with autistic kids, and this was a story he wanted to tell about, like, hopeful optimism from inside that struggle.
Yeah, now, very interesting.
Neither of these movies you had anything to – you didn't produce or write or
– No, it was really nice. It was really nice to just come in and act on something and not have any of the organizational responsibility.
And which is shocking to me because I thought you were the only guy hiring you anymore, Seth. So I was happy to see you were able to just get work as an actor.
Yeah, I'm not going to work with anyone else ever again. Set up me in a green screen. And
when does the story, Luke, come out?
This week? I want to say it's either the 4th or the 9th.
I thought you'd know.
I would, but both of these movies are coming out in the same week.
Oh, okay.
So it's one date or the other. And then the other movies.
That's thing one. And thing two is Sexy Evil Genius.
Sexy Evil Genius.
I saw this and loved it.
Oh, good.
It was amazingly weird.
Yeah. I love this movie, too. It's kind of like more of a Hitchcock movie. It's a single location, all takes place in one night. Former lovers of Katie Sackhoff, all brought together under mysterious circumstances.
Love her.
Me too. She's incredible in this movie.
She really is.
Like
crazy.
Barbara Stanwyck.
I don't think she's even acting. she's that crazy.
Well, this movie came to me through her. She had been developing it for a while and reached out to me, and only because she was going to play that part did I think this thing would work. Because it's kind of like a weird noir thriller that all takes place around a table. And it's all these ex-lovers of this girl brought together so that she can unveil some mysterious plan.
And none of them knew the others existed or were going to be there.
Right, right.
And that's sort of fun to see because you see her first through Seth's eyes, and then you see her through other people's eyes, and she's completely different to each person.
Exactly. Before you even meet her on film, you hear everyone describe what she's like in their own unique experience with her. And then when she shows up, it's like a bomb gets dropped in the room.
This is such a bizarre cast, too. Talk about the people in this film, Seth.
Well, it's me and Katie and then Michelle Trachtenberg and Harold Perrineau and Billy Baldwin.
Oh,
and so
cast.
We're all ex-lovers of Katie's. I was the one that she met. I was the one she knew in high school. And then Michelle was the one she did a ton of drugs with. Harold was the guy that she started a jazz band with.
She was in a jazz band with him. And everybody else was like, she hated jazz.
Right. And then Billy's the lawyer that gets her acquitted for murder.
By reason of insanity.
Yeah.
And then dates her.
All of which you discover in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
It's the most bizarre thing. It's a weird movie. I've never seen anything like it, and I really liked it.
Well, the whole thing was written by a guy named Scott Liu, who developed Lou Gehrig's disease, and he wrote this entire movie without his body.
Is that right?
Yeah. He wrote it by using a dot on his head that keyed up to his computer and wrote letter by letter.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
How
long could that have possibly taken?
You know, he's a uniquely patient person, and we were all really just dedicated to making this movie.
Wow, that's amazing. Not knowing that backstory, I was going to compliment the writers and say amazing, amazing work.
Yeah, he's a badass.
Wow. All right, so two Seth Green movies out this week, and I know at least Sexy Evil Genius is also available on the video on demand, which I think is exciting as well.
It's true. We're in this amazing new media place where everything is being simultaneously released.
Yeah, which so you for can watch those of us who don't like to leave our home, love, by the way, love that.
It is so nice.
What's this new project? What's this new show that you're unveiling?
We need to take a break.
Oh,
no!
Yeah, let's take a break.
Need to take a break.
Let the man take a break. Give the drummer some.
Are you a drummer?
Well, in a movie, I am.
Okay, good. You know, we'll take a quick break and come back with Seth Green.
Busiest man in show business, Seth Green, in studio with us here on The Kevin Bean Show with two films out this week, The Story of Luke and Sexy Evil Genius, also continuing to make The Robot Chicken, continuing to be on Family Guy. And now you're telling me you got another TV show, Seth? Like you're not busy enough?
Right. It's just a pilot for the moment, but Seth MacFarlane is EPing a show that the guys that wrote Ted created.
Oh, man.
Called Dads. It's two lifelong best friends who run a successful video game company, and both of their dads move in with them.
Oh, God.
How come Alex Borstein was in Ted, Ralph Garman was in Ted, Seth MacFarlane, of course, was in Ted? Why wasn't Seth Green in Ted?
Oh, we just agreed we won't do movies together.
Liar.
Too many Seths.
I don't know, guys. I would never really tell a director who to put in their movie.
Maybe
I don't
you
have
too
any,
busy.
I don't know. I don't have any insecurity about my relationship with Seth MacFarlane.
I'm trying to start something here.
Trying to start something.
I'm trying to get you to be nervous about it all of a sudden.
all right, give it a shot.
So I have to ask you this, Seth. Since the last time we had you in, the disturbance in the force happened when George Lucas sold off the Star Wars to Disney. Now, did that affect the project that you were working on with him?
Yeah, but more in the sense that when George created Detours, there was no plan to make 7, 8, and 9. So it had less to do with the sale of Disney and Kathleen Kennedy's architecture for the company into the next 30 years. And if you really think about Star Wars as a property that's lasted over 30 years, the timing of certain presentations becomes critically important.
Oh, I see.
And, our show is a comedy, a situational comedy in the Star Wars universe invented by the creator of Star Wars. And so anything that he presents is going to be received in a specific way. And I'm sure Disney would have been thrilled to have, our comedy Star Wars show on XD for the next 3 years until episode 7 comes out. But if you think about it from a cultural standpoint, the way that kids receive that information, like the notion that Darth Vader is scary versus, the robot chicken interpretation where Darth Vader is a middle management bumbling boss who doesn't get a lot of respect and is constantly having to, deal with the anger management of his CEO boss, that's just kind of misinformative. And so we've got almost 40 episodes completely finished.
Wow.
It's not like this show is just going to sit shelved forever, but it may be a couple of years before anybody sees it.
Do you have to wait until the next one comes out, the next movie?
Maybe. I mean, I think it's timeless, which is the lucky thing. Like we created a show that's very funny and it fits into the Star Wars universe, but separate from canon. So, I think it'll still work. It's just people won't see it for a while.
How weird to have 40 episodes of something just sitting around.
I know.
It's really, really bizarre.
It is a little strange. I don't think there's anything like that in the history of anything. but it's also, you got to remember George Lucas is a guy who's done things in a very unconventional way. He's conceived of things in times when people said that couldn't possibly exist.
Right.
And if you look at the way that media is converging and the way that ad-sponsored television is sort of crumbling as a concept and everything is becoming more a la carte, on demand, consumer control, 40 episodes of an animated show that could work at any time frame.
Yeah.
That's going to become a valuable commodity.
Now, we know that you're not good enough friends with Seth MacFarlane to get in Ted, but do you think now that they're making new Star Wars movies, your friend George Lucas will put you in one of them?
George is...
He's not doing it, is he?
Yeah, no, he's totally just retired.
And yeah, he can
not
give notes,
about Star
though.
Wars
Come on.
Now. I don't know that he will.
Notes. It would just say notes, Seth Green.
Well, I will.
The new emperor.
I don't think that's...
It would be awesome if Seth were the new emperor.
Yes, it would.
I will say this, though. I had a meeting with Kathleen Kennedy about other things several months ago, and I said, hey, Kathy, just so this is in your ear, if there's anything in the new Star Wars movies, I'm still an actor. Just remember
good
that.
For you.
And she laughed. She was like, I was wondering how long it would be before you said something. And I was like, that's the last you'll hear of it.
How crazy would that be if somehow through whatever happens, you end up in a Star Wars movie?
It'd be really cool. Obviously, I'm not really
of course
expecting
not.
That. I don't have any hope for that.
But you should.
when they were putting together the new Indiana Jones, I said over and over and over again, hey, dude, even if it's just like a guy at a bar who's like, you'll drink Dr. Jones. I want to be in that movie.
You're going to play an Asian guy in Indiana Jones movie? For me.
Well, I didn't get it, so.
So no.
Seth Green is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, the name of those movies that we mentioned a few minutes ago, Sexy Evil Genius and The Story of Luke. They are both out this week. Hey, we understand you are a big Walking Dead fan, like any right-thinking American would be.
Yeah.
Will you stick around? Because we're going to talk to Chris Hardwick coming up next about last night's finale.
I can stick around for a minute, and then I've got to run.
All right.
I apologize.
Oh, that's how you are?
It's a really long day. I'm doing like a weird, crazy press thing all day.
Do you need to go now? It's cool.
30 different outlets.
No, we don't. That's fine, man.
But I came here first, guys.
Yes, I'm saying, do you need to go? It's fine. We'd love to have you, but
we've been stabbed in the back before, man. This isn't the first time.
We're good.
I can stay like another 10 minutes.
All right.
Okay.
That'll be perfect because then you can walk out right in the middle of the interview.
Sweet.
I like it. Points any care.
This life now.
Huh?
You kill or you die. Or you die and you kill.
Or you die and you die. Or you kill and you kill.
That happened.
But usually in that order.
Yeah. How are you going to handle, Kevin, 6 months with no new Walking Dead? What are you going to do?
I can't answer that. I don't have a replacement for it.
Last night was the season finale of season 3 on AMC. Our friend Chris Hardwick, who hosts The Talking Dead immediately after, is on the phone. Hey, Chris, we have your old buddy Seth Green in studio with us today.
Oh, I love Seth Green. Hi,
Chris.
How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Seth Green is the best.
Seth told us you guys have known each other since you were teenagers. Is that possible?
Yeah. I was dating a girl who was really good friend with Seth's sister, and so we've all known each other since we were snotty little teens running around.
What a beautiful story! Now you two run the world.
Well, let me start with Seth because we haven't asked you. What did you think of the finale last night, Seth?
Oh, I loved it. I was really excited by it. I mean, I don't want to give a lot of spoilers, but there was some stuff that I hoped would happen that happened. There was some stuff that I thought, oh, please don't let that happen that happened. So it was really exciting.
It surprised the hell out of me. I was not expecting much of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that's great.
It had been that kind of season.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, was there some disappointment from either you or the panel last night or the fans that you've heard with that the confrontation that we expected in the finale last night, the mano a mano between Rick and the governor, just didn't happen?
I guess that's true. You know, the thing that you always have to remember about Walking Dead is that the shows are overshot. So there's stuff that happens that doesn't, you know, some stuff doesn't fit into the episode. But, you know, I mean, I at first I was like, oh, crap, you know, everyone, you kind of wanted to see the governor get shot in the face. But I kind of like now that he's out in the world, and because he didn't really become a supervillain until the last episode.
Right.
And so you really want to see the supervillain get killed the second he becomes a supervillain? I don't mind that he's out there in the world now, because now he's a completely chaotic evil force.
Why would everybody go back to the prison and not to the city?
That's a great question, and we talked about that on the show last night, and I think ultimately
I saw it, I just wasn't happy with the answer.
Yeah, I think it's because the prison is more safe. It's what they know, and that's where they, you know, that's what. I love the question. Someone asked the question last night. Like, they brought a lot of old people back to the prison. What if they die in their sleep and then become walkers in the middle of the night?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh,
good point.
If you get old and weak enough, you got to be put down.
Oh no. They have to establish some kind of Logan's Run in Washington.
Right. All right, now let me just bring up an idea that I have been championing for a long time, and I seem to be the only one.
This better not involve killing a kid, Kevin.
Carl.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Must die.
Why? He's nothing but an asset at this point.
He's arguing with his dad and taking out innocent people. Come on.
I think Carl's the only one who you can bank will survive.
Yeah, man. Carl's badass now. And by the way, anyone listening to this, these are all massive spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Finale, so
spoiler alert.
Last night,
but he is. But
you're
Chris.
In a grocery store, shoot out the speakers.
he is an asset. There's no question he's an asset on that team, right?
Yes, because, you know, at first, when he shot that kid, I was like, because he gets pretty messed up in the comics. Like, he does some really horrible things in the comics, and so now the call of the television show is starting to follow some of that. And I didn't, when he shot that kid, I was like, holy crap. And, but then later on, when he explained it to Rick, I was like, that really makes sense.
Yeah.
But let me just interrupt here and say, it does make sense. The way he explained it makes sense. Some of Rick's weaknesses make sense. But if you grow up in a world where it's all zombies and you must kill, 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 I mean, he doesn't have the human factor that Rick has that some people might see as a negative, but you got to have some of that.
No, because he's like Carl's, you know, if you're an adult and the zombie apocalypse happens, your core belief system has to change or your moral compass gets a little muddy. But if you're a kid and like you said, that's all you know, then that's just how you are. But I mean, as long as he doesn't get too creepy, killerish, he is an incredible asset.
Yeah,
for that group.
His teenage years, him walking around with a gun, teenage years, being with his younger years formed like they were, I'm sure he'll be fine. He'll be well adjusted.
But listen, you know, like, for instance, if let's say there's another governor happens, like another guy somewhere, and everyone's kind of hemming and hawing about, like, I don't know, should we? Then while everyone's trying to figure it out, Carl will just go take out the enemy and then come back.
Yeah, that's true. I have bad news for you, Chris Hardwick. Carl is the next governor.
He might be, yeah.
The way he's going.
We were calling him Lil Governor last night on the show.
Yeah. Now, again, we're talking to our friend Chris Hardwick from The Talking Dead on AMC After The Walking Dead. Massive spoiler alerts if you've not yet seen the finale, or if, God forbid, you're like a season behind like some people are. I agree with Yvette Nicole Brown on your panel last night, who said it took Andrea entirely too long to figure out a way to use those pliers to get loose. I mean, she was going pretty leisurely considering she was in a room with a zombie. Like, what does it take to light a fire under her ass?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, the toes are not as prehensile as the fingers. And so if you're trying to scrape up a pair of pliers and you know that if you do it too fast, you could kick them off, like, it doesn't bother me so much.
But it's
I was impressed she just got that she at least had the forethought to get her boots off.
Yeah, that was pretty smart.
Well, that was good.
And it also showed that she had recently got a very nice pedicure.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Which is on.
Woodbury has a very nice Korean spa. And you can go and get a mani-pedi.
It wasn't how long it took her to pick them up. It's that she decided to have a whole conversation before she tried to pick them
how
up.
How are you? Are you fine? Are
Why
you
did
still
you
alive?
Decide to do this?
We well, got the pliers! Know.
She just can't multitask.
Well, right. She wasn't sure that he was going to die. I personally, I'm bummed because I realized last night there are no more nerds left on the show.
Right.
That's true.
Milton was the last?
Glenn's a quarterback now. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Glenn is suddenly buff and a hero. You're right. And Milton was your people. He was all that was there for you to root for, Chris.
He was doing science experiments on the zombies. Like, it was a good... All right, he's gone.
Yeah. Let there's me, still hope for the baby. The baby could grow up to be a big geek.
That's true. That's a good point.
She could grow up to be a big geek.
Let me ask you guys, you nerds in the room here, because of course I didn't read the comic book, but you made some references on your show last night, Chris, to thank God Tyrese survived because he's a major player in the books. What kinds of things might we see Tyrese doing in season 4? Why is he such a significant part of the books?
You know, Tyrese in the book is a really strong ally for the group and Rick, and he's pretty level headed. You know, like he's a good, you know, with Dale gone and Andrea gone, you know, like there's, and they still have Herschel. Herschel's sort of the moral center right now.
Yeah,
but you know, he
needs to die because of the ponytail. Who's with me?
Kevin has a lot of rules in the zombie apocalypse.
You lose a leg, you grow a ponytail. That's how it works.
I didn't realize that. For balance?
Yeah. Keeps them balanced. But you know, it's not like Herschel can go out into the field and help them stay moral. So Tyrese will hopefully be that good moral center that they need as they go out and try to bring supplies back, or you know, have to.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Take people out.
And that uncomfortably hot woman he's always with, again, refresh my memory, that's his sister, right?
I
didn't think it was.
I think that's his sister, no.
Oh, it's not?
No,
well, then he's missing an opportunity.
Hey, Chris, do we have time for a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we have Bob. Hey, Bob.
Thank you for taking my call. This is Bob from Chattanooga. The hour is coming. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice. There seems to be no room in this mockery.
What happened? What happened last night, Chris?
What happened last night was one of the most amazing things, and I was so happy that it happened on the finale. But we take calls during the show, and a call came up, and I knew it was going to be trouble the second I heard heavy breathing. And I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And it was the heavy breathing, and then he started quoting a Bible verse, which I believe I was told was not the one that was in the show, but I think it was near it. I think it was the Bible quote above it, but it was it was an apocalyptic, you know, the soul's dead shall rise, blah, blah, blah.
You're one of the few people that, like me, loved that. You were so upset that he hung up or got cut off. You wanted to hear the end of it.
I was so upset. I wanted five more seconds.
Thank you for taking my call, Chris Hardwick. All of the former singled out contestants are arriving from their graves to take back their lives.
Maybe it was Seth. Maybe Seth was calling. All right. Well, listen.
Walkers. Yeah, we're the poor guy had to reach over his clown suit to make that call.
Yeah, no kidding. That was hilarious. Well,
all these Chattanooga Bob Twitter accounts popped up last night at once, too.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's funny. Well, yeah. The Talking Dead has been so, so great this season. And I just want to give a shout-out to you can still get Chris Hardwick on your TV because this past Saturday night, I was happy to watch the debut of your Nerdist show on BBC America, which I thought was very entertaining, Chris. Great work with that as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So you guys should definitely check that out. So Saturday night, again, you got the Doctor Who, and then you got the new Orphan Black show, and then the Nerdist show with lots of great guests, and that's on BBC America. So we're going to say goodbye to you now, Chris. And I guess, Seth, we're also saying goodbye to you because you got a bigger name on the other line. You got to go, too.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye, Seth Green.
Bye, Chris.
The story of Luke is the name of one of Seth's movie, and Sexy Evil Genius, which is also my autobiography, is the name of his other one. And check them both out. They're on video on demand. And
yes, and Katie Sackhoff and Michelle Trachtenberg share a hot kiss in Sexy Evil Genius.
And it is
I ain't mad at that. Thank you, Seth. Great to see you, man.
Right on, guys.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, who a lot of people think was the all-time greatest combination of people working on Loveline together. No offense to the other hosts who have been on the program.
Or Psycho Mike, who's a friend of ours.
I think Mike would say the same thing. They are going to be joining us both together in studio right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. Adam and Dr. Drew on the way here from the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Very few things please me as much as listening to you two suck hind teeth when it comes to geek.
What were you doing? Oh, you mean about The Walking Dead?
Just like, for the 15 years where I talked about geek stuff, you guys are like, loser, geek. And now it's like, oh, The Talking Dead. Comic-Con. Doctor Who. You can't get enough of it now.
Let me just say this in my defense.
You're adorable.
Let me say this in my defense. You're right.
You're adorable. That's what I'm saying. Nothing pleases me more. Like, we like it now.
We used to mock Ralph so bad.
Yeah.
No, Is it possible that Ralph can still be a loser and we can still like geek stuff, though? Can't both of those things happen?
Yes, actually.
Now we're taking over the world, and you guys are like, oh, we love those things, too. USA!
We're not really leaders.
You're like the jocks now are suddenly trying to get into the Dungeons & Dragons Club. They're like, nope, sorry. We have no die for you. We're all full up here. Why don't you go back out there and just jump some hurdles or whatever it is you do out there with your things.
We jump hurdles.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office on a Monday morning. G.I. Joe Retaliation, as expected, took the number one slot, $41.2 million. The Croods were third, then Tyler Perry's Temptation came in at number three. Olympus Has Fallen, Oz the Great and the Powerful, number five. The Host, in its debut, only $11 million. I guess the twitards won't show up for just anything, she writes. The Call was seventh. Admission, Spring Breakers, and the incredible Burt Wonderstone running out the top 10 at the box office this week. And I mentioned last week there was a rare Beatles collectible going up for auction. And we were laughing about the fact that the Beatles still have such sway when it comes to pop music and people who collect stuff like that there. It was a copy of the Sgt. Pepper album, signed by all four Beatles. Went up for auction on Saturday, and I mentioned the album was expected to go somewhere a little above $50,000 for this album. Ultra rare, they don't think there's another one in existence, a copy of Sgt. Pepper with all four signatures on it. It ended up going for $290,500.
Wow. That is amazing.
Almost $300,000 for a record album. Dude.
Considering McCartney probably did John Lennon's signature, that's amazing.
How dare you, sir? Not the case at all. Lil Wayne has epilepsy. That's what the problem is. It's not the scissor. It's not the gallons of scissor Pete Downs. It's epilepsy.
Well, he was having seizures, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people thought it was because he was ingesting massive amounts of codeine cough syrup mixed with Jolly Ranchers. Maybe that was doing it. But he says he's had epilepsy his whole life, and that's where the seizures come from. And that's what landed him in the hospital.
He also said he's had lots of seizures that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Which I think was crazy.
So that may explain the whole thing away. Or not.
Look, I'm no doctor, but it seems like if you have epilepsy, drinking the Sizzurp can't help it, right?
Or
can't be beneficial
to your health. Or calling it the Sizzurp. It can't be beneficial either.
I can't imagine anything would help it, though, right?
No. And you don't want to be doing large amounts of codeine on the best of situations. But it's going to exacerbate any medical conditions you have. And Amanda Seyfried's concerned. You wouldn't think she would be, being that she was in Les Mis, huge career, very popular. People love her. She tweeted last Thursday that she had a very disturbing day at the Newark airport. Someone mistook her for Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, that hurts.
That's just mean.
No one should have to go through that. However, someone I do often mistake with Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes, is in the news. Her parents apparently are going to stage an intervention.
Why so soon?
They think maybe she might have some problems. They're convinced now that she needs some professional help, and they're trying to get her the treatment that she needs. I think it was her walking around with a shirt over her head, banging into light posts in Times Square that maybe...
That's a bit of a cry for help.
The end was near. And before I get to the showbiz birthdays today, how about some tickets to a very cool movie called Oblivion? Have you seen the trailer for this one? Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, love Morgan Freeman.
He's the last man on Earth, Tom Cruise, battling the aliens who have taken over our planet, and all of mankind had to flee the planet.
Hey,
or
Tom Cruise
did they?
Tom Cruise is the guy I want on my side if we're battling aliens because he knows them.
A nice Scientology reference.
There you go.
Good work.
Morgan Freeman leads a group of people who apparently are still populating the Earth, and Tom Cruise looks like he's been lied to by his superiors. Looks like a great sci-fi film. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 19th. However, you can see it April the 10th if you're one of my close personal friends, or you call 1-800-520-1067. Wednesday the 10th at the Dolby Theater there in Los Angeles. We're going to be giving out passes to our special premiere of Oblivion.
And we're doing this because we like science fiction stuff.
Exactly. 1-800-520-1067. You get a pair of passes. First five callers, you call that number right now, we'll get a pair of passes to the premiere of Oblivion Wednesday, April the 10th. Today's celebrity birthdays on April the 1st. April Fool's Day. Anybody get fooled with any April Fool's Day gags?
No. Anybody that does that's stupid.
My buddy Kevin Smith pissed off a lot of people this morning. He tweeted, Ralph Garman and I have split. There will be no further Hollywood job. people not happy with him.
But that's a mean April Fool's joke to get people's hopes up, right?
Wait till you find out it's true.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy Cliff, 65 years old today. Method Man turns 42. Rachel Maddow celebrates her 40th birthday. Sam Huntington from Being Human is 31. Speaking of good science fiction, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, they are back together again. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock in studio and on stage in Redondo Beach at the Performing Arts Center on April the 13th. Gentlemen, welcome. How are you?
Good to be back. We went in the same bathroom. We had a bathroom break. Yes. Yeah. Very homoerotic. Well, that was one of our big things.
I thought you were talking about today.
When we did today. Loveline. Yeah, we used to go use the bathroom together.
We'd walk down the hall, turn right, they go to that bathroom by the coffee, we'd stand and get coffee.
Right. Because there's more than one.
And
right.
continue our conversations, of course, whatever was going on in the air. But occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally we had a treat.
Special bathroom break. Go the long way. Go through the Jack FM
sales part
and go to our own secret little makeout bathroom place.
Now, do you guys sword fight? Is that your move or what do you do?
Only in the special bathroom because the other one, remember the latrines are a little bit at angles. You can't quite get at it.
Yeah, that's true.
What's happening right now?
It's true. This is a real treat for us because we talk to both of you gentlemen every week on the phone. But to have you both in studio together is great. And I imagine that's how people feel when they come to your shows or when they see you. They're listening to the classic podcast.
It's just,
somebody's drinking some mangria. It's happening right now.
I'd like to suggest every guest should bring alcohol in when they arrive.
The white is out, Bean.
Adam didn't even say anything. He just handed me a glass.
Yeah, me too.
Delicious.
And, I want to get to the mangria, but just let me finish my point, which is people are excited to have you guys back together again, and the reaction has been great, right?
Not the one guy at the McCarran Airport on Saturday morning.
This was awesome.
We did a show in House of Blues, Vegas, and then we're flying to Salt Lake City to do a show, and we're sitting in the airport about 9:45
in the morning,
waiting for the plane.
There was only one restaurant there. It was a bar.
I had a beer, and Drew had a cup of coffee.
I went next door, got a Starbucks, brought it over.
Right. Drunk guy from bar, 30-year-old guy, comes over and says, I'm buying you guys a drink. And I said, well, you just missed. By the way, where were you 5 minutes ago?
Right,
I was standing next to you buying a drink for myself. That's the time to jump in. He said, I'm absolutely buying you a drink. Drew said, I got my coffee. I got my beer. Thanks. He ends up buying us single malt scotch, a shot of single malt scotch.
For both of you?
Drew does a thing where he purses his lips and pretends to take a hit off it, even though I know he doesn't.
And it's so like, there's still the same amount when he puts it back down?
You know, not your wife, but your wife's friend who's a pain in the ass. You go, come on, have a little hit off this tequila. And she goes, and then she hands it back.
That's good.
She did nothing. It actually rose because she put a little bit of saliva in it. Drew, hit off your mangria. Come on, let's do the same face. So Drew did the I'm not taking any. I did not want to shame the boy, drank it down. And
well,
because
you care about your fans, Ace. That's the difference between you and
Drew.
That's
right. That's right. And I said, all right, now thank you. And he said, now I'm buying you guys another drink. And we said, we just had your drink, and we have our drinks, and it's 9:45 in the morning, and we're getting on an airplane.
We got into a conversation at that point about how we know you're wanting to offer us something and enhance our experience, but you're actually making things worse now.
I'm enjoying my coffee.
You explained it.
Then he queried this. He said to us, and he didn't say it in a snarky way. He really wanted to know the answer. He said to us, okay, what percentage of the time do you think you guys are a-holes? What percentage?
Does that have to be where you're both a-holes at the same time?
He didn't make that distinction.
Oh, okay. No, just wants to know what percent. We're like, oh, come on.
Super fan. Super fan.
Okay, the story goes on. Part two?
Well, then we land in Salt Lake City, and magically this guy's standing by the baggage claim because they have to be. Like, the story's never complete unless, you know, the guy you flip off on the road has to be standing in front of you at the Rite Aid counter. Otherwise, it's not a complete story, right?
Right.
So he's just standing there, and he comes up to us, of course, and he says, the rental car pickup is upstairs, sort of sheepishly. And that was his form of apology. By the way, this thing where people go, that's him apologizing. How about apology? Whatever happened to, hey, I'm sorry for being an asswipe. So, like, his form of apology was telling you where the drinking fountain was.
Well, that
like,
was my note.
And I can tell he wanted to reconcile, but how about you reconcile by going, I was drunk. I'm an asswipe. I'm so sorry. Here's a coffee.
Story's not over.
So he goes.
How could the story not be over?
He goes, the rental car's upstairs. I go, that's fine. Thanks. And he goes, and Drew says, thanks, fine. And he starts to walk away. He gets about four steps away. And like a Mean Joe Green commercial with a kid buying a Pepsi, a Coke in 1971. Drew goes, hold up. The guy stops. He goes, come back here.
At which point, Adam starts chanting.
I start screaming.
Chanting.
Re-engage! Re-engage!
Re-engage! Really?
Re-engage!
Re-engage.
Really? Re-engage!
Chanting this at the
really
guy.
Re-engage! Re-engage! Really re-engage! In front of him, I'm yelling, spitting on him. Why are you re-engaged? He was walking.
His back was to us. You have to re-engage.
We had gotten away clear.
Yes.
Why did you call him back?
Because it was not that simple. The guy.
Adam, was it that simple?
I meet an a-hole in Vegas, and I never see him again.
Right.
That's as simple as it
is
for me.
But Dr. Drew wants to find out why the guy is an a-hole. Some sort of drama.
We sort of S'd on his offering again because Adam really went, hey, we're not looking
offering.
For a rental car.
His
we're not,
offering.
He goes, well, the parking. We're not going to parking.
Okay, here's what I said. By the way, if that's an offering, then how about the sign that says rental cars upstairs? Is that an offering? Should we lay some fruit down at the feet of the sign? He said the rental cars are upstairs. I said, thanks.
So anyway, so I wanted to close it. I wanted to go, hey, man, we got you. Thank you very much.
Because you didn't think it was very nice.
And he went on his way.
All right.
Closed.
All right.
Done.
And
what do you mean done? It was done. He was walking away. That's not closure.
Well, as he walked away the second time, you're screaming re-engage at him.
Can I just say thank God these two are back together because clearly they needed each other.
You guys are a married couple.
I'm
not the first person to tell you that, I'm sure, but...
Can I tell you, I had to yell at this guy the other day at my shop when we were doing the podcast. He had a guest on...
Drew?
Yeah, during his podcast.
By the way, check out the podcast at Corolla.com,
yeah? Yeah, you can, but mine's better. But I was...
DrDrew.com. Go to DrDrew.com and click through on the Amazon
site. Sitting on the sofa. He comes walking out, standing next to a good-looking 40-year-old guy, 6'4", and in street clothes, and he goes, you remember this guy, don't you, Adam? And I go, no, I don't. And he goes, you don't remember this guy?
That's
and I go, hold on, this guy. First off, sorry, this has nothing to do. Drew, what are you doing? Is this your policy? Bring people I don't recognize, put them in front of me, and then make us both uncomfortable when, of course, I don't. Who was? Tell
in front
me
of the guy
part.
He's doing this.
Yeah.
I'm yelling at him.
He should have.
But who's the guy?
Sean Green, Dodger. Dr. Great, Sean Green.
Who I have what relationship with?
We shook hands with him 12 years ago.
Playing a Dodger All-Star
Was he
game.
Wearing a Dodger uniform?
Yes, he was. Not this time.
This time?
Last time I saw him, he had a cap and a uniform on,
right.
And it was 12 years ago
this
in the dugout.
This time he's not wearing
You remember this guy? Like, he was, like we were at your bachelor party together 4 months ago for your second marriage. Like, Drew, what are the chances I would know who he was?
That was narcissism, flat out. Because he's a figure in my son's life. His picture's on the wall for them.
Okay, don't do that to
I'm
people.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
What was I supposed to say?
Well, start yelling about how uncomfortable it was. I'm sure made him very uncomfortable.
Adam, you remember Sean. That's what you do.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah,
we played with him in the All-Star game 12 years ago.
Right.
One time. That was a setup.
One
Listen.
Time.
We got to take a break. Adam and Dr. Drew are here. The reunion tour is coming to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center at 8 o'clock. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. Your admission ticket, by the way, also gets you a free glass of white mangria. That is included in your ticket purchase.
How's that treating you?
Pretty good.
We're going to hear all about the white mangria when we come back. More with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you don't believe Adam Carolla was the best co-host Dr. Drew ever had on Loveline, just ask him. He will set you straight. I'll tell you that. And the boys are back together again here in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show and on stage in Redondo Beach on Saturday, April 13th. Tickets available now. Show is at 8 o'clock. You can go to adamcarolla.com. You get a free glass of the Mangria White. What is this? This is new to the Carolla fine drinks that are available, right?
Peach and pear. And it is delightful.
It's for girls and Dr. Drew. That's how you're selling this one, right?
Yeah, I think transvestites as well. But there's just not enough room on the label to list everybody.
That's true.
I do the 50-50. I do the half white and the half traditional mangria and get a little mangria suicide. Drew, I know you appreciate that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Come on, don't be uptight. Have a hit. Kevin, what do you think?
It's good.
It's num-delicious.
I wasn't going to use that word, but I would. I would use that word.
Scrumptilius.
Yes.
Adam, how did you end up in the liquor business? I know you've told us the story. You've told everyone the story about how Mangria was invented. But it's another step to go, I'm going to make this a significant part of my life and be one of those guys who sells liquor for a living. But that's a major part of your life now.
Well, I tell people all the time, and I do it all the time. We were in Salt Lake on Saturday. I was signing Mangria bottles, and I was signing books, and I realized that everybody who walks up to my table with a book in their right hand and a bottle of Mangria in their left hand, the price is... And not only that, you hand the book off. The book gets handed off. I'll bet you your average comedy book gets read like 3.7 times. Like, yeah. You go, hey, and people tell me, like, they're bragging all the time. Like, I loved it so much, I sent it to my sister in Mississippi, and she loved it so much, she gave it to she handed it off to everyone at work, so it has cooties on it, but I get no more money in my pocket. And I realize we shouldn't be in the book business, we should be in the Mangria business, because you sell a bottle, and if they want to share it with their sister in Mississippi, they have to buy a bottle.
Adam explained it to me this way on Saturday night. We were sitting in Salt Lake City. He goes, when's the last time you changed your toilet seat? I would never have. He goes, how about toilet paper? Because you want to be in the toilet paper business, dude.
Right. I had a buzz going, but I made even more sense than I normally do.
All right, what is
be in the toilet paper business, not the toilet seat business, son.
What is the topic for the most part on the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast?
Like this.
Like this?
Yelling at Drew that I'm splitting the pay with him, and he's standing there the whole time saying, tell that story.
Dance, monkey. Dance. Yeah.
Dr. Drew, I want to know why you wanted to get back together with that.
That is a great question.
I'm serious, because you already get lots of Loveline with your little friend Michael Catherwood, and it's not like you don't have a million other
jobs.
We don't do Loveline.
That's what I like about it. It's
you
us.
And Adam.
It's us just chatting about whatever's on our mind, whatever's interesting. I love doing my podcast alone, which Adam has graciously allowed me onto the fire chip to do, which is I just follow what's interesting to me. And we basically do the same thing together. He talks a little more on that
one. He talks a lot more.
And then blames me for not talking.
Right.
And I'll remind you that in Salt Lake City, we're on stage, somebody asked for a lengthy story, and Adam goes, why don't you tell it, Drew?
Yeah.
So I did.
All right.
He felt he's counting the number of words he utters on the stage, and when he's hit his quota, I got to go match that quota.
Oh, please.
There's never been a quota that I've seen for Adam.
Drew walks out on stage, and he'll go, no one wants to hear what I have to say. And I'm like, well, stay home and give me all the money. No one wants to hear what you have to say.
I know what I want to ask Dr. Drew. You are so good at diagnosing your callers on Loveline.
Yes.
Have you spent much time thinking about what makes Carolla tick?
Of course.
Ooh. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Of course.
What do you think? What damage does he have?
Have you ever listened to what he talks about?
Yeah. Well, of course.
You may not have heard this, but his mom was not very attentive. He's got some feelings about this.
Uh-huh.
And his dad isn't exactly the most
hard-working.
Easy,
we're recording this right now.
you may
he didn't get a lot of love and support growing up. I understand that.
Dad's a little bit distracted, perhaps.
I also heard about crazy guy across the street that I don't think we can talk about.
Crazy guy across the street.
So something I've not heard about.
There was.
Hold on.
No.
Kevin just lost his mind?
No, I have.
Kevin's having a seizure, I
haven't. I'll tell you later. But I didn't know if I could say it or not, so apparently not.
Adam for years has yelled and continues to yell, I'm a narcissist, meaning himself. I'm a narcissist. I'm a narcissist. So one time, LA Magazine was doing a lovely spread on Adam. And they said,
I yell, I'm a narcissist?
You do.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you do.
I say I don't exist. How can I be a narcissist? All right, but go ahead.
All right. And you say you don't have feelings.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
That's sort of a narcissistic thing. Anyway, so I said, well, he's a treated narcissist because you've had lots of treatment and stuff and a group and a therapist. And Adam took great exception to that.
He was upset.
Yeah, upset about that.
He is now.
Yeah. I was?
Yes.
Do you remember any of this? Maybe less Mangria, Adam.
I've never announced that I was a narcissist. I'm the opposite of a narcissist.
All right.
Listen. All right, here's all I want to say to everybody. Maybe this is Mangria talking, but there's a movie called The Hammer. Yes, I started it. And basically wrote it.
Not a narcissist.
Go look at the movie and read the credits. It says, written by Kevin Hench, because Kevin Hench and I wrote it together, and he said, could I have credit for writing this movie? And I said, yes, you can. And would a narcissist do that?
That's my question. Hallmarks of true narcissism is using the world to keep yourself buttressed because inside you feel very little and very diminished.
All right, so in that case, I'm an arsonist who just never strikes a match.
It could be. Everyone's an arsonist.
Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Thanks, Bean. Well done. Thank you. Well done.
What do you make of, and this is my final question because we're almost out of time. And by the way, Redondo Beach on April the 13th, free glass of white Mangria is included in your ticket purchase. We have some to give away right now to Kevin and Bean listeners who happen to be having the radio
and
on right now.
Referrals to treatment, if necessary. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Of course. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through who want to see the live stage show, please call. What do you make of this, Dr. Drew? Because I am incredibly impressed and fascinated with the fact that Adam Carolla, even when you started working with him, was essentially a functional illiterate. Yet he still has.
Thank you for making that sound so poetic and lovely.
No, he has. This, I mean, Adam could barely read and write, and I'm not talking out of school here, Adam. You've spoken about it many times, but the fact that
I wasn't in school when you were talking.
The fact that you have made it to this level of accomplishment in show business, Dr. Drew, that's impressive to me.
Well, he worked hard on the reading thing, but we had trouble back in Loveline, 15 years ago when we'd have cards and poor Adam was like, I got to go memorize these because I don't really read them, and he now has no trouble reading but I just think about the LA Unified School District and the job they did with this man and what might have had on our hands. God knows what kind of evil genius we might have had.
And now he's a double New York Times bestseller.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But he uses auditory. He uses, he has people, he speaks it and then he has it spoken back to him and that's how he processes. And there's nothing wrong with that.
But it is funny that I never learned to read, so everyone just says, oh, well, you have a problem then with reading. I mean, you didn't learn to read. You have a disease or something. And I said, no, I don't. I just never learned how to read. And they don't accept that. Like, they could not
accept. It's like riding a bike.
He went to a hippie school where he threw dirt clods and beat up his friends.
Oh, I wish I could have gone to that school.
Oh, it was great. And then at sixth grade, entered the LA Unified, at which point they called him, they labeled you with something.
Brillohead?
Yeah. And put you into ceramics classes.
Right.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird when you're a white guy who can't read, you're dyslexic. When you're a black guy who can't read, fell through the cracks. System let him down. No one ever sees a black guy can't read and goes, oh, he's dyslexic. They go, system, man. White guy can't, if it's a white guy, you can't just not read. You go, oh, it's just, you have dyslexia. I go, no, I don't. I just never learned to read. And people are like, you're dyslexic.
Well, there are currently 22 episodes of the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast available for download at adamcarolla.com and on iTunes. And I insist that you listen to all of them. That's what I'm telling the Kevin to Be listeners to do. And you can see them on stage, the reunion tour. Is this an ongoing thing? Is this something you're going to do till further notice? Or is this limited engagement?
We shan't work together again, so enjoy.
Probably going on. It's up to Adam.
Yeah. I'll see how much money
is. Is there some kind of soft shoes, some kind of singing and dancing going on, or is it just...
Well, as people go, what do you do when you hit the stage? Yeah. I go, well, whatever Adam's yelling at me about in the dressing room, he's always yelling at me about something, we just pick up right there, and that's where we start the show.
Adam just yells from the beginning to the end of the
around
day,
me,
doesn't he?
Strangely enough.
Always.
I know it's around you guys.
No, always. Yeah. Always.
Well, listen, Drew...
So somebody put a mic in front of him. They were smart.
Let him say
don't
it.
Get me going.
Drew what?
Drew what?
I come... to the event with a laundry list of things I want to talk about.
Right.
I say to Drew, what do you got? And he's like, oh, whatever you want to talk about. I'm like, well, what do you got? And he's like, well, I go up there and wing it. I'm like, what do you got? Write something down. Here's a guy who does homework, who doesn't do any homework when it comes to this.
Hey, Adam.
No, yes. Do it. I know what you want to do now.
Could I just defend Dr. Drew for a second? Mm-hmm. He's not going to get a chance to get any of that list in.
I didn't hear a word you said.
They may not survive till April 13th, but
not
if they do,
you two.
See them in Rotondo. Thanks for coming in, guys.
All right,
thanks to Jennifer Cho from Los Angeles listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. Just picked up fifth row seats to see Depeche Mode at Staples Center on September 28th or 29th. We have tickets for you all day long here on KROQ. In fact, all this week. Let me see. If today's Monday and it's fifth row, I think that means good things for people listening tomorrow, right?
Sixth row.
Seventh?
Six. I don't think it works. I don't.
Six after five.
Seven, you guys eight, could, nine, five, six, seven, six. Five,
you guys
six.
Could be right. Get all the details at KROQ.com and stand by for your chance to win your tickets for Depeche Mode. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I want to say goodbye to everybody. Thanks for everything. It's been a blast.
Oh, is this your last report?
Yep. Going back to school.
Going back to school.
Get my degree at the Pasadena City College.
Now, will you still be an explorer, though, if you go to another school now?
I think you're always,
whatever your undergrad is, you can still claim, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Why are you going to Pasadena City College?
Maybe you should come with me, Kevin.
Yeah.
They are offering a new course called Navigating Pornography.
Aren't you already a doctorate in that?
Well, I'm not accredited. I mean, I've done independent study, but I don't have the degree.
That's so a real college course.
Yeah. Students today live in a porn-saturated culture and very rarely get a chance to learn about it in a safe, non-judgmental, intellectually thoughtful way, says Professor Hugo Schweitzer.
So what are we learning about? Why people like it?
I'll let you know.
Can we please call Pasadena City College and get that teacher to come on and talk about the course with us?
I'd love to know. The course. You don't need to talk to him. I will let you know.
Okay.
Of course, when the first day of school, you get a syllabus, you get an overview of what he'll be studying, and a roll of paper towels. So, I can't wait. Can't wait for Lick My Mortarboard. Film you see at the graduation. Looking forward to that. It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. G.I. Joe Retaliation, as expected, number one at the box office, $41.2 million. The Croods. Popular animated film came in second with $26.5 million. Then Tyler Perry's Temptation in its debut, $22.3 million.
That's the movie Kim Kardashian is in, right,
Ralph?
That's
correct, yes.
Yeah.
Olympus Has Fallen was fourth, and Oz, the Great and Powerful, rounded out the top five. The rest of the top ten, The Host, The Call, Admission, Spring Breakers, and then The Incredible Burt Wonderstone with just $1.3 million, proving maybe it's less than incredible. Sad news for Glee fans. Star Corey Monteith, who plays Finn on that show, has announced he is checking into rehab. He's not dead. He's just checking into rehab.
Still, sad news.
Corey has been very open about his struggles with substance abuse ever since he was 13 years old, and his folks split up. He started getting drunk, smoking pot. Then at 19, had to check himself into rehab. Now at 30... he's going back in for a second time. His girlfriend, Leah Michelle, also from Glee, issued a statement today saying she does nothing but support and love Corey and stand by him through this. I am grateful and proud he made this decision. Doctors say part of the problem may be he's a 30-year-old playing a high school student. Maybe that's why he's doing so much drugs and drinking. I know that would bother me a little bit. Along those lines, how about Amanda Bynes? She's got something going on there.
She's a mess.
Star Magazine reports that having drastically altered her looks by, bleaching her hair or wearing crazy wigs or piercing her cheeks, walking around Times Square, bumping into things with a shirt over her head. Parents are finally stepping in, convinced that perhaps she needs some professional help. These guys have an uncanny knack.
They do.
Of reading their daughter. You're going to step in and
see what if they can help their daughter a little bit.
First of all, take your shirt off your head.
That's the first step.
Take your shirt off, period.
Or that's the creepy stuff. Great story, Surfer, this weekend about Freddie Mercury, legendary lead singer for the band Queen. Close friend to Mercury finally revealed that his relationship with Princess Diana was very close. They became very good friends. In fact, Princess Diana wanted to see how the regular people lived. So one night, Freddie Mercury dressed her up as a gay male model.
Is this true?
To get her into Fohall Tavern, a gay nightclub there in London. A comedian who was tending bar that night, good friends of Freddie, said it really happened and no one recognized Princess Diana in the disguise.
Wow.
Diana ordered herself some drinks. Freddie was very proud of himself for pulling this off and letting her mingle around amongst the common folk, but kept it a secret his entire life so that she wouldn't get in any trouble with her husband at the time or Queen Elizabeth. So she was out there disguised as a gay male model.
Hmm.
It's a great story.
It has to be a great disguise because you would think, I mean, she was one of the most recognizable people on the planet, but gay people loved Princess Diana too, right?
Yeah, you slick her hair back, put her in a suit, maybe some makeup or whatever.
Tape her down.
Fake mustache.
Well, she would never expect her there.
And, right.
In a dark nightclub. It's like, oh, you see that guy dressed as a dude? That's Princess Diana. That's when they say, all right, stop huffing. That's what they would tell you at that point.
Right, exactly. That's a crazy story, Ralph.
And this breaking news just handed to me by Dave, the King of Mexico. Boy, this Buck Wildcast, they got a lot of problems. You know, two of them were arrested for dealing drugs.
Uh-oh.
And now comes news that Buck Wild star, really the breakout star of that show, Shane, S-H-A-I-N, Shane Gandy, found dead this morning.
Oh, dude.
In a vehicle in West Virginia. He had been reported missing. 31 hours later, they found him along with two other bodies.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Discovered in his vehicle in Sissonville, West Virginia.
No word
on what happened, but Shane was last heard from around 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. He and his uncle David Gandy told people they planned to go four-wheeling, and it's unclear if David was one of the deceased people in the vehicle when Gandy's body was discovered, but more news on that as we find out about it.
Watching that show, they all looked like they were great candidates for early deaths,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, the life expectancy there in Sissonville I don't think is very high, but one's doing time for all that drug possession, that hot Bangladesh girl.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's this one, he's passed away. A couple of them are in trouble with the law. So,
good casting, MTV.
Yeah, well, second season's going to be fascinating.
Yes, it is.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy Cliff, 65 years old today. Method Man celebrates his 42nd birthday. MSNBC host Rachel Maddow is 40 years old. Sam Huntington from Being Human turns 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to bring in some highlights of My Strange Addiction of a guy who loves balloons. And when I say loves balloons, I mean he loves.
Not the love.
Loves balloons.
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
Also, what happened when you passed out drunk? We have comedian David Alan Greer. We're going to continue giving you tickets for How You Like Me Now section, which is right up front for April Foolishness tomorrow morning.